go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 22nd day of November 2019, as we noted last night, a date that will live in infamy. 56 years it has been since America was changed forever in Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas, with the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And the world yet wonders if we will ever fully know the truth of what happened that day. The heck with the truth. If we'll ever even actually know the facts. Magic bullets and things like that being what they are. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the internet, on the interweb tubes. And that, of course, is where you go if you would like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. It's up and running, and early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky are there. Also there, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, well, has decided to withhold his powers this evening and stay Sparky and not fold space to become Man Cave. You can be there too, of course. Pop right in, pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you don't ever already have one, and you'll be part of the rollicking conversation. Jimmy just wandered in from the Great Northwest. Hey, Jimmy. And, of course, it's also Friday, which means Friday on the front porch, and that means that here in about an hour or so, we will gather together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves around the extraordinary, ordinary round table for a wrap-up of the week's news and events. Okay. Yeah, if you want to be part of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, then just, go to HeadOn.live. Sparky has generated, and Brother Deacon Asa has posted the Skype link for the evening. Go there, click on that, and jump right into the wild and wacky and merry and so forth of the end of the week conversation. It appears that everything is working well in terms of how the stream is streaming. Brother Deacon Asa and Jim let me know that we're 5x5 on all platforms. You know, at HeadOn.live, for those of you who like to listen later. The podcast tab there has all your podcasting needs, and of course, HeadOn.live is the simplest way to get the live stream when the program is live, of course, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and that's 3 to 6 Pacific. Okie doke. So, it's a great place to go. Now, every program at The Horn begins with gratitude. And this evening is no different. Thanks going out to our subscribers this evening, Michael. Thank you, Michael, and thank you to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now of Southern California. Thank you to Jamie. Thank you to Bill in Florida. Thank you to Tirani. And thank you to Chris in Germany, who jumped in a la carte this morning, which takes our fundraising goal down to, are you ready for it? We haven't, Timmy hasn't been this far down the well And Lassie has not been quite so forlorn about the idea in a long time. We can finish fundraising for the month of November on schedule and be where we need to be for the coming week so we can have fundraising free radio if we raise $915. Tall order, I know. But it's possible we may be able to do it. $915 finishes the month of November, and we get all the bills paid, and everything's ready going forward. Can we do it? We'll have to see. I have a feeling there's a certain cachet, panache, if you will, to the idea of declaring forcefully, boldly, and proudly with each contribution that comes in, a hearty, fuck Trump. Fuck Trump. So maybe we'll take it down. I sure hope we do, because I would like for us to be able to just go forward next week with no mention of fundraising whatsoever. And as far as a programming note is concerned, recall, please, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of next week will be truncated programs. They'll be two-hour programs because Mike and Kathy and Molly are heading over the river and through the woods and et cetera for Thanksgiving. And, well, let's see. I may not. Mike may be back live for Friday, but I'll be covering Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for sure. Okay? And then As I have mentioned, and hopefully, I think it would just be fun. We'll all be half out of our minds on, what's that chemical substance that's in turkey? Tryptophan, that makes you kind of, your eyes sort of roll back in your head and you get a little, sleepy. Long about evening time on Thanksgiving evening. Well, we'll be... We'll gather together in our tryptophan haze on Thursday evening for a Thursday evening Thanksgiving on the front porch. And then we'll do another front porch on Friday if you want, if I'm not covering for Malloy. That's up in the air as yet. Okie doke. Ralps says, let's do another fuck you Trump and I'll start it. With $10. Hugs. Hugs right back, Ralphs. Fuck Trump. And so that means that we are now down to 905. $905 to go to finish not just the week, but the month of November. Sparky says it's been a booger of a day. I hate to hear that, Sparky. Hope everything's okay out your way. Brother Deacon Asa says, yeah, the last time Timmy was this far down the well, CNN was still the only 24-hour news network. Whew! That's a long time ago. Not long before I went to work for him, as a matter of fact. So, well, what's on your mind? Where do you want to go with things this evening? I've got an interesting little piece of audio here. An Iraq war veteran. An Iraq war veteran caught up with precious Lindsey Graham today in the halls of Congress. Let's see, I'm having a hard time. That looks like he may have been in, let's see, it goes Hart, and then Russell's the middle Senate office building. Hard to tell, though. But he was walking through the hallway, and he's kind of a hobbit, not very big at all. I've passed him a couple of times in the hallway there in D.C., and man, at my 6 feet two, I tower over him. And I'm just 6'2". But never mind that. A perfectly rational reasonable veteran caught up and walked alongside Lindsey in the halls of in the halls of the Senate office building, whichever one it is. And sought to speak to him about the current state of affairs relative to the orange monstrosity, the best part of whom ran down his illegal immigrant mama's leg, about what he's doing to the Constitution and how he's not upholding his oath. Now, when you hear the audio, pay attention to the fact that the veteran in this case, he's not ranting, he's not raving, he's not railing, he's not hissing and spitting. None of that. Perfectly reasonable. Not unfriendly. But it was apparently too much for Precious Lindsey. Way too much. Here we go.
I live in Louisiana. Lots of friends in South Carolina. I see how you're berated in the press, and I honestly believe that you believe in our democracy as I do. I came to D.C. because I'm a Marine. I went to Iraq. And I believe, as I believe that you do, that President Trump is not acting in accordance to his oath. You took an idea to defend the Constitution. You took an oath.
Yeah, I did. I don't think
I mean, you have. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
And that's it. I don't believe he's upholding his oath, and I don't think you do. And he says, well, I do. And that's it. And just walks away from the guy as if he's not even there. That probably is the Russell Senate office building, because that's where Precious Lindsey's office is. That's man of the people, Lindsey Graham, who doesn't have time for even the briefest of conversations with a veteran, whom, of course, Republicans, it must be recalled, swear up and down they support. But it turns out the ones that they support are apparently the ones who commit, you know, war crimes. But Precious Lindsey wasn't having any of it. Yep, that's it. Gotta go. That's it. I could ask something entirely self-serving, like, oh, I don't know, how does he sleep at night? How does he look at himself in the mirror to shave? But no. That's just what it is to be a maggot. That's how they are. Plain and simple. And then, as many of us have posited, we say things out here in the hinterlands, us little people. And eventually it filters up into the world of the people who live in that thin oxygen space. Like, for instance, Grandpa Joe. True enough. Wait a minute. That's for Brother Deacon Asa. Man of the people. Easy there, Skipper. We're not entirely sure about the man part yet. He certainly doesn't. He's not acting like one, not by any stretch of the imagination. Hey, thank you very kindly to Keith. Thanks, Keith, very kindly. And with that, we say, fuck Trump. And that gets us below the $900 mark. Thank you. Thank you, Keith. And Pat gets us even further below the $900 mark. That gets us down to $870. Fuck Trump. You know, one of the things about speech is that you have to learn to enunciate things differently. You know, there's to be or not to be, or to be or not to be, or to be or not to be. So we'll work on different ways of saying "fuck Trump" this evening, and try to find as many possible ways as we humanly as is humanly possible. Fuck Trump. So that takes us, like I said, 870 to go to finish the week. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Pat. Thanks a ton. Great to hear from you. Thank you. But it's not just, like I said, it's not just us. And we've been wondering for a long time because even though I've never much cared for Precious Lindsay, I mean, I remember how oily and smarmy he was, so how self-righteous he was about a consensual sex act back in the waning years of the final decade of the 20th century, when he declared that lying to Congress and not responding to a congressional subpoena, that there is what we call impeachable conduct. Yes, it is. Of course, now that a Republican's doing it, suddenly I-OK-I-Y-A-R. But nonetheless, going back to his dear friendship with John McCain, we thought that there might be something about Lindsey Graham that had a smattering of decency to it. But as we've watched him go from saying in the early stages of the Republican presidential nominating contest of the 2016 cycle that Donald Trump is a liar, that Donald Trump is unfit to be president of the United States, to being his biggest cheerleader and sycophant and bootlick and lickspittle, it has occurred to us to wonder, in conjunction with the fact that we know that the Russians hacked not only the DNC server, but hacked the RNC as well, only releasing the DNC and apparently hanging on to the RNC stuff, the really good stuff, for, well, extortion purposes. We've wondered what it is that they have on Lindsey Graham. Could it be some sort of overseas investments? Could it be being caught with photographed with a live boy? And we've all wondered what it is that Donald Trump has on him that makes him behave in such a pathetic and embarrassingly servile fashion as compared to the person he used to be. We wonder. And thank you very kindly to Lady B that we're down to set to 860 now. Fuck Trump! Yes. Thank you, Lady B. Well, like I said, it's finally filtered up from us proles to the folks who breathe the good stuff. And in particular, I mean, in this instance, Grandpa Joe. Joe Biden. It happened. Well, the clip is from CNN. And it's interview footage with Grandpa Joe. Don Lemon sat down with him, and they played a part of it earlier today. Check it out.
Let me ask you, because Lindsey Graham now, who you've worked with, who was a friend, who I know there's video of him saying, oh, you are the nicest person he's ever met, you're the greatest man, and now he's asking the State Department for documents for you and your son. What do you say to Lindsey Graham and folks like him?
They're asking Lindsey Graham. They have him under their thumb right now. They know, he knows, if he comes out against Trump, he's got a real tough road for re-election, number one. I am disappointed, and quite frankly, I'm angered by the fact he knows me. He knows my son. He knows there's nothing to this. Trump is now essentially holding power over him that even the Ukrainians wouldn't yield to. The Ukrainians would not yield to, quote, investigate Biden. There's nothing to investigate about Biden or his son.
Hold the phone there, Grandpa Joe. You may have missed that part of the story. I realize that's entirely possible. There's a lot of parts. But the Ukrainians did yield. It was only through the most miraculous of happenstance that the news came out about the whistleblower 2 days before Fareed Zakaria and had agreed on behalf of CNN to carry water for the Trump regime and sit down to do an oh my gosh golly big super duper exclusive double secret probation a double plus good interview with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who understandably had his back against the wall and had a huggable, cuddleable, lovable, wouldn't harm a flea or a fly, Pootie, wanting to see him all, dead and stuff, and put a Pootie puppet back in the presidency of Ukraine. But yeah, Ukraine was ready to knuckle under and do what they had been told, and deliver the goods on the bribe that they had been offered by the President of the United States, taking a great big steamer on his oath of office and the Constitution that undergirds said oath. But Joe's a very busy man. He may have missed that. And I'm not casting aspersions toward Volodymyr Zelensky. When your country is at risk of being overrun by a massively larger next-door neighbor, existential questions like that are difficult to answer. But it's true, precious Lindsay, since the wholly ineffective and arguably comically inept Republicans in the House have been unable to get Hunter Biden and Joe Biden subpoenaed before the impeachment committee. Well, Lindsey's going to do their dirty work for them because, maybe somebody pulled out an 8x10 color glossy photograph with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one. It's that time of year, of Lindsey. Playing hide the salami with some handsome young fella. That's one of those things that makes the closet so damn dangerous and so damnably miserable a place to be. If Lindsay came out, nobody on our side of the aisle would criticize him in the least, because we recognize that human sexuality is a thing that none of us are really responsible for. To channel Lady Gaga, whatever we all are, we were born that way. If Lindsay wanted to be the gayest Republican in the Republican caucus of the Congress of the United States, liberal, accepting, tolerant Democrats would say, good on you, Linz. Enjoy your life. Live your authentic existence. Live your genuine truth. Welcome to the sunlight. But therein lies the rub. Because that is not how good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican voters down in South Carolinistan would react. They would froth at the mouth and shriek and scream about sodomy, sodomy, and sodomites. And talk about how Lindsey Graham is an abomination before the Lord. And so consequently, what we are forced to guess, those 8x10 color glossy photos with a circle with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one of Lindsey playing Hide the Salami, they're enough to keep Lindsey doing what they want Lindsey to do. And in this particular case, it is to use the awesome power of the Senate Judiciary Committee to launch a bullshit investigation of a bullshit allegation. And to, in the words of Dim Leader from back during the Reign of Error, catapult the propaganda. Back to Grandpa Joe.
And Lindsey is about to go down in a way that I think he's going to regret his whole life.
What do you say to him?
I say, Lindsey, I'm just embarrassed by what you're doing for you. I mean, my Lord.
Yeah. And that's about as fierce and passionate as Grandpa Joe can get. But he's right as far as he goes. I think maybe he would have done better not to have used the term Lindsey is going to go down because, well, then again, the goddess of irony works in mysterious ways. What's that, Brother Deacon Asa? Don't think Lindsey is much of a salami man. My money's on andouille. Oh, I don't know. You know, they got such lovely warm weather down there in the low countries. I'm imagining it might be something more along the lines of a summer sausage. And there we are, 28 minutes into the program, and the horn train has jumped the tracks and is now puffing merrily along through the gutter. That's on me. A little help from Brother Deacon Asa. Wow, this is breathtaking. We have a challenge on the table that could really right the ship. It is the unfit for the presidency matching challenge. It is good only until the end of the program, about 2.5 hours away. The challenge is in the amount of $400, anonymously offered. The $400 unfit for the presidency challenge is on the table, and it comes with a bonus, if you act now, of a hearty fuck Trump with each contribution that arrives. The $400 unfit for the presidency challenge on the table and on the clock. And thank you very kindly for making that challenge. And as Lady B says, as my niece-in-law used to say to my nephew, fuck Trump, that no good motherfucker. Is that close, Lady B? I mean, I'm trying. It would probably be ever so much more engaging were it you saying that, but I'm doing my best. But yeah. So, Precious Lindsey, that should be, you know, this past week has been grave and mind-consuming. There's been so much data to take in. But we live, we do, we live to a certain extent in a bubble. And when we heard Alex, Lieutenant Colonel Alex Vindman's testimony, we were stunned. When we heard Ambassador Bill Taylor, with 30 years experience under his belt, testify, we were shocked. And then when Gordo Sondland came along, every time I think Gordo, I think of pinch hit utility midweek chat room moderator and all around great guy Steve from Georgistan, and that commercial that he used to, we used to giggle about so much, featuring Gordo the dog and the couch, and it, yeah, Gordo Sondland came along. And it seemed that everything was, well, put in place. We had all we needed. In fact, I've heard through the course of the day a number of individuals say, yeah, there's at least enough out of these hearings for four rock-solid counts of impeachment. And I keep looking and saying, you know, I wonder if we're forgetting something. Because procedurally, all these things that have been developed, all this evidence that's been developed, is going to be turned into a report, which is then going to be handed off to Representative Gerald Nadler, chair of the House Judiciary Committee, and it will be the job of the House Judiciary Committee to draft articles of impeachment if they think that such are warranted. But the thing is, and this is the part I think we need to bear in mind, Representative Nadler is not limited to what comes out of the impeachment committee. They were looking very narrowly into the Ukraine shakedown. But there's still a whole bunch of stuff else out there. Like the fact that the President of the United States has been named as an unindicted co-conspirator by the Southern, by a grand jury in the Southern District of New York, and the subject matter of their findings resulted in guilty pleas that have been found to be factual by a sitting Article III federal judge in said district. So I'm not entirely sure that we won't see said, or the fact, you know, the simple fact that, well, and you know what Representative Nadler and the Judiciary Committee could use as a basis for one count of impeachment? The words of Lindsey Graham. Why, if the president don't honor a subpoena issued by the Congress, why, that there is, my goodness gracious, that is obstruction of Congress, and oh my stars and garters, that there is then an impeachable offense. They can just play that on a fucking loop. And so if there's four coming out of the Ukraine shakedown, how about five for all the subpoenas, not just the Ukraine subpoenas, but all the subpoenas that this criminal enterprise, this racketeer-influenced corrupt organization has ignored? You think? And so, thank you. Thank you to Trevor. Thank you, Trevor, for jumping in on the $400 unfit for office challenge. There's 375 left of that now. And that takes us down to 8:45. Thank you to Dave. Thank you very kindly, Dave. 8:35 and 365 left to go on the unfit for office challenge. Fuck Trump. Fuck Trump. Yes. Jim with a note. Lindsey Woolsey, what gives? Get it, girl. Miss Thang. Fuck Trump. Fuck Trump. Darlene in Connecticut says, I just tuned in and heard Grandpa Joe. Is this the same Lindsey Graham who's going to come to his senses and work collaboratively with Grandpa Joe should he become president? Why, the very same, Darlene. The very same. Hope springs eternal in the hearts of centrists everywhere, I suppose. Another reminder that, well, Grandpa Joe is living in a different time. Oh, and I mentioned Lieutenant Colonel Alex Vindman. His lawyer has made a formal request to Fox News to publicly retract the libel and slander that Laura Ava Braun Ingram perpetrated against him, alleging that he lacked loyalty to the country whose constitution he swore a lifelong oath. Because for Republicans, they'll sleaze anybody that gets in the way of their God Emperor's dreams of total domination. You know, the second article of clothing of the Constitution gives me ultimate bigly power. I can do anything I want. Right. And so we find ourselves considering the words, well, tweet, of the junior senator from Tennistan. We might take a moment to recall that Tennistan is the volunteer state. The volunteers being the mascot of the University of Tennessee, sitting as it does on the banks of the Tennessee River there in Knoxville. That term, volunteers, has to do with Tennessee's early history, when a group of Tennesseans, and I think it's most frequently associated with that fight to preserve slavery down in Texas at the Alamo, but the volunteer spirit predates that by quite a bit. Before there was even a Tennessee, there were the Over the Mountain Men, a bunch of hillbillies in the far eastern part of the state who went over the mountains, volunteered, and went over the mountains and kicked some English ass during the American Revolution at Kings Mountain. And then, alongside Andy Jackson, they volunteered and marched south and then west to defend the young republic once again against the English in both the Creek War and the Battle of New Orleans. So it's a tradition of not leaving an ally in the lurch, of which Tennesseans are quite proud. It is a tradition of honoring those who put their own lives at hazard in defense of deep and abiding and enduring principles. So, like I said, it's time for us to consider the junior senator from the volunteer state. I'm speaking, of course, of Marsha, goodness, Blackburn. Marsha, goodness, Blackburn, who, if her brains were gas, would not have enough to fill up a piss ant's motorcycle and run it halfway around a BB. Marsha, goodness, Blackburn, who is up to her frosted roots in association with a guy who was, well, up to his eyebrows in dirty NRA money and relationships over in Mother Russia. Marsha Blackburn, Christian, who decided, based upon her Christian principles, you know, she's often seen with a little necklace with that thing hanging off of it that they used to murder Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi. Yeah, you know, a cross. It'd be like if we were all walking around today with a cheap Italian rifle hanging on a pendant around our necks, as the late great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, once said. Yeah, just wear a little rifle on a chain, or just remembering John, Jackie. Yeah, Marsha's a Christian. Well, I guess she watched Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's testimony as well. And now, and it sounds like this came on orders direct from Nitwit Nero. She tweeted today, this morning, "Vindictive Vindman is the whistleblower's handler." Vindictive Vindman. She must have been watching a different hearing from the one that we watched, because there was no vindictiveness in the testimony that Lieutenant Colonel Vindman offered. He was squared away, straight as an arrow, and even when offered the opportunity, would not veer off into speculation. He hewed as close to the requirements of the Uniform Code of Military Justice as any officer might have. But to Marsha, goodness, Blackburn, he is Vindictive Vindman. And so here in the penultimate year of the second decade of the 21st century, a question for Tennesseans who proudly wear the mantle of volunteer. How's Senator Blackburn working out for you? How do you feel about that? The man's walking around with pieces of shrapnel in him that he got because he followed orders and went off to do his country's bidding in an illegal, unjust war, and paid with the integrity of his own body. As he noted in his testimony, his comrades in arms fared far worse than he did in the attack in which he was injured, and for which he received the Purple Heart. But he was nonetheless injured, and he still carries with him the evidence of that service. But that's okay, because the junior senator from the volunteer state has no problem at all sliming him, accusing him of being the whistleblower's handler. Maybe she was trying to get attention. Maybe she was trying to perpetuate this whistleblower bullshit, even though the whistleblower is no longer even remotely needed. You know, the Republicans have shrieked and squeaked and squealed and about how we gotta get the testimony of the whistleblower, because the whistleblower started all of this. Well, the fact of the matter is that the whistleblower didn't start anything. The man installed in the office of the presidency by operation of a constitutional anachronism from our slavery days, Donald Trump, started all of this. But she got lots of attention. It's just not the kind she was hoping for. As the hip young kids say, she got the fuck ratioed out of her. So for that kind of anti-American, unpatriotic swill as perpetrated by Marsha Gedneth Blackburn, should we add a fuck Marsha? Marsha. Fuck Marsha. To the remainder of the evening? Let me know. And thank you to Libby for jumping in. Thank you, Libby, so very much. So that is that leaves $340 to go on the Unfit for Office challenge. 340. And that takes us down to 840. Wait. Yeah, 840 to go to finish off the week. Thank you so much, Libby. Thank you very much indeed. Billable Rick, whom I'm hoping, I imagine we will hear from later, says, Gordo Sundland. Who is that weird dude? Gordon Sundland, as Trump likes to say, is straight out of central casting. That is, for the Joker. He was the only impeachment inquiry witness who seemed to be having fun, reveling in the worldwide attention that he received and in the chance to throw, okay, gently toss, some Republican officials under the bus. Is Gordo possibly the long-lost brother of Mr. Clean? Well, there is a resemblance. Or is Gordo actually the half-brother of the mediocre former Iowa tight end and acting, i.e. wannabe, Attorney General, Matthew Hot Tub Crime Machine Whitaker, sired by the milkman? Ooh, there's a resemblance there, too. Maybe it's a thing. Maybe that's, you know, skinheads, maggots, Nazis, white supremacists. Maybe they thought Gordo was somebody that he wasn't. I mean, after all, he's from the great Northwest. And I don't know if you caught it, but yeah, he a couple of days ago when he was testifying, he leapt, I tell you, leapt up onto the cross to bemoan the fact that he is being boycotted and picketed at his properties. And oh my goodness, what was his name? That jackass from Texas. I've successfully forgotten him. The same guy who elicited the testimony about how opposing fracking somehow makes an American citizen a pooty stooge. Yeah, he complained about how hurtful it was that he was being boycotted by people who thought that it wasn't okay to shit all over the Constitution. We've got a second to the motion. Ralph says, "Hell yes, F you, Marsha Gedneth Blackburn." Fuck you, Marsha. Goodness, Blackburn. Conway. Mike Conway. Thank you, Billable Rick. God, that is one odious son of a gun. Note coming in from Mike in Cascadia. Bob, I'm good for $25 just to hear you keep exclaiming, goodness! One of these days we should look up, that really does come from a real live, honest to God, no kidding, Marsha Blackburn clip where she was shocked about something and said, goodness! So, thank you. Fuck you, Marsha. Marsha. Fuck you, Marsha. Goodness. Thank you, Mike. And that takes us down to 3:15 to go on the unfit for office challenge. And overall, down to 7:15 to finish the week. Now, bear in mind, if we finish the challenge, we'll be very nearly finished for the week. So, thank you to the person who anonymously put the challenge forward, and thank you to those of you who are responding. Picking up on the whole leitmotif of goodness, Jim says, goodness, daylight hasn't seen such a ruin. Blanche, another lemon. Come, please. yeah. Well, like I said, goodness, Blackburn got the hell ratioed out of her. With some people even going so far as to report her Twitter account for engaging in online bullying. Which, of course, that was. One individual pointing out, Trump pardoned war criminals this week, and you're reserving your ire for a soldier who reported a crime when he saw it? Goodness. It was a bad day for Elise Stefanik of New York as well, because... all right. It looks like we've just pulled away from the siding in the gutter, as Brother Deacon Asa points out. Fuck Marsha. No thanks. Not even with yours. I done seen the photographs of her. That's nice. Flavio lets us know that Moscow Marsha is trending as a hashtag on Twitter. Best response. It's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, Avon lady. Flavio noting, that was good. That was really good. I concur. Over at the Ellen Show, executive producer Andy Lassner started a hashtag campaign against Elise Stefanik and in favor of her challenger, Tedra Cobb. Andy Lassner got the hashtag to the top trending topic on Twitter this afternoon with hashtag bye bye Elise. And folks jumped merrily onto that, wishing her a not so fond adieu, having embarrassed herself and embarrassed the people of her district in New York. Bye-bye Elise was all over the place. It was bad enough that it elicited a response from some flack in Elise Stefanik's office, who told Andy Lassner to get help. Don't do that to the creative people, because they're only going to make your life miserable over it. Because Andy Lassner then said, well, okay, I'm going to get help. And I'm going to get it from Ted Rakab by helping her to defeat you. And it turns out there was a little piece of trivia about Elise Stefanik. Elise Stefanik, you know, you're supposed to actually have a home in the district that you purport to represent. For instance, I mean, I and everybody else knew back when he was our member of Congress, we knew where Nick Joe Rahal's house was in Beckley. And he could be found from time to time puttering around the place because it really was his home. He was born and raised in Beckley. Of course, he's been replaced by a woman who isn't really from West Virginia, the crazy cat lady, Carol Workman, who prays to Jesus before every vote. She's a Republican, you know. And it turns out that every time she has to cast a vote, Jesus tells her to vote alongside with whatever it is that Kevin McCarthy's telling her to do. I had no idea that Jesus and Kev were so simpatico. But Elise lists as her home in the New York district, which she is alleged to represent, her parents' vacation home. She's really never seen there much. Mostly, she stays at her townhouse in D.C. Kind of hard to get that whole in touch with the people of the district thing going when you never really go to the district. But she probably doesn't think much of it anyway. It's Appalachia. It's most of the Adirondacks. And nothing there can compare with the social life and the nightlife of, say, Georgetown. I mean, really, come on, please. Bad day for the maggot ladies. Goodness. And just for the fun of it, as we draw near to the getting together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler elves, now one more little bit of fun. Because it's been a while since we had a really high-quality, stupid clip from our little nut Meg. I'm speaking, of course, of Meghan McCain. That woman who, if her name was not McCain, would in fact be lucky to be waiting tables on the night shift, the midnight shift, at Waffle House. She just doesn't understand what all of this impeachment kerfuffle is all about. Mercy. Joy Behar got it started, and then Abby Huntsman chimed in, well, I guess we could say tepidly.
Frustrated because I am really mad about what happened on this Ukraine call, and I do think it is quite serious, and I think it's an embarrassment that more Republicans haven't even seen this as even an abuse of power by any means. But Democrats have played their cards completely wrong here from the beginning. I mean, we've been talking about impeachment since he came into office.
Oh yes, Democrats have played their cards wrong because Abby Huntsman, daughter of John Huntsman, who, if her name wasn't Huntsman, would be working the midnight shift alongside our little nut Meg over to the Waffle House. She knows so much better how to run an impeachment inquiry than any of those Democrats and that smarty pants Adam Schiff.
That's right. I talk to people all the time. They say, "Let me know when it's serious enough, when something's actually going to happen."
And by that she means by "I talk to people all the time." She talks to her 27 brothers and sisters, or however many there are, there in the Huntsman family.
Until then, I'm tuned out. I'm not paying attention. So, look, we watch this stuff because we're fascinated by it. We love politics. But I don't think people are sitting in front of their TV screens all day long. These hearings are long. A lot of them are boring. I thought Sondland's opening testimony was the most interesting part that we've seen so far.
Maybe he's people are watching this religiously. Puffy outfit like, what's his name?
Sean Spicer.
Well, thanks for the visual, Joy. That should be good for some sit straight, bolt upright in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning horrors. Hey, for once, it's not on me.
You know, I guess
if it's
not important enough to Americans that you have a president who bribes another country.
This is Sonny Hostin, who frequently gets things right.
For his own personal political interests and believes he is above the law, then yeah. I guess nothing is important enough. Because if you don't stop him now, where will he go?
Well,
from there?
if he
where right. will he
That's
go?
The point.
Yeah, that got the audience going good, because primarily it's true. I mean, that's why it got the audience going. There's the issue of what Trump did, and all the other things that Trump did. But what is far more terrifying is what comes next. For instance, in the legal world, there's a thing, and it is dealt with in the rules of evidence, called a subsequent remedial measure. For instance, a plaintiff cannot introduce the fact that after a slip and fall at the grocery store, that the grocery store put down a mat to prevent more slips and falls, as evidence that the grocery store knew that it had been negligent in not having one there in the first place. But this ain't a court and it's not a trial. And so lo and behold, and everybody's acting like they're baffled or something, I'm not. It turns out that the Associated Press has discovered that the Trump regime has decided to hold up $100 million in military aid to Lebanon. Just as was the case with Ukraine, that money has already been approved by Congress. But the AP report indicates that there's some curiosity as to why. I'm not curious, because I know why. I mean, the headline even points to the curiosity. Mystery grows over Trump administration hold on Lebanon aid. The Trump administration is withholding more than $100 million in U.S. military assistance to Lebanon that has been approved by Congress and is favored by his national security team, an assertion of executive control of foreign aid that is similar to the delay in support for Ukraine at the center of the impeachment inquiry. Okay, so I guess it's possible that he's trying to strong-arm himself into a Trump Tower Beirut. Recall that once upon a time, Beirut used to be referred to as the Paris of the Levant. The aid has been held up for weeks. And the White House and the OMB won't say why. Here's why. It is by way of an alibi. Because with this, they can say the maggots can say, see, it wasn't just Ukraine. Trump holds up aid all the time. This aid was approved by Congress in early September. Subsequent to the Ukraine shakedown, this is what you might consider to be a subsequent remedial measure. They're trying to provide cover for the shakedown. Now, there is also the reality that the pro-Israel hawk contingent in Congress are trying to keep the aid from flowing. They are, of course, wrong. And they're also at least nominally allied with the now indicted, corrupt, psychopathic Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, who inexplicably, no, quite explicably, has declared that his indictment is a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt. I don't know if he did the voice or not, or snorted, but he did. But it's just the Trump regime trying to provide cover for their own previous sleazy action. It's not a mystery. No. So here we are. We've gone past the top of the hour, and it's time we should gather together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves and gather around the extraordinary, ordinary round table for our Friday on the Front Porch conversation. Hey, Sparky. Lousy day, huh?
Well, Bob, it's going to be all right, I thought, until I went to the store.
What happened at the store?
On my second stop, the car died on me.
Oh, no. Any idea what?
I thought it was just the battery. So I've got AAA, so I got a jump. And I headed over to Les Schwab to buy another battery. And I left the car running at Les Schwab. And went into the office there to get the battery. And when I come out, the car died. So a couple of Les Schwab guys tried to jump it for me. But as soon as they take the jumper cables off, the car would die. So I had to get a tow truck. Not called AAA.
Oh, Jesus. It turned into an ordeal. So you got the tow truck.
Over to Antelope Auto Repair. And drop the car off, and then I have to call my neighbor, and she was cleaning house for a lady. She came out, picked me up, brought me home, so I'm at home with no car now.
Oh, Jesus.
Monday.
Best guess, alternator, distributor, what?
Well, they're going to check it out. It's probably the alternator. I mean, the car is damn near 20 years old. Well, it is 20 years old, actually, but 20 years to us.
Well, I mean, when something like that happens, that's not like, you know, launching a bunch of valves or breaking your serpentine belt or anything like that. I'm certainly no auto mechanic, and I don't play one on the radio, but that sounds real alternatory.
Oh yeah, that's what I said. It's alternator, so.
Well, I mean, you're the journeyman inside wireman. That's electricity. You know, that involves electricity.
Yeah, well, the battery isn't charging, and if you get you a jump and you're running, the motor's running fine, and you still got the jumper cables on, you take the jumper cables off, and it just dies.
You ain't generating no juice.
No juice. So, anyway, they keep it over the weekend, and get on it first thing Monday morning. I guess they were gonna diagnose it this afternoon. But it was after 2 o'clock by the time I got the car over to them. And then I got home and walked in the door just a few minutes before 3. So that's why I said that. Heck with going to the man caves today.
Yeah, just just stay right where you are and periodically just yell "fuck" at the universe, and it'll make you feel better.
It used to be you could run a car on battery power.
He's bugging me.
I'm sorry. It used to be you could run a car on battery power for a little while, but if you had your headlights on and they started going dim, that was a telltale sign. Yeah.
But yeah, I had that happen to me years and years ago when I was in the Air Force, and I was heading back to Travis Air Force Base. And I was driving along and heading on this one bit of freeway to get to the 880 or 80 that goes into the Bay Area. It runs by Fairfield, where Travis is. Anyways, I was going down this highway, and the lights started getting dimmer and dimmer. So I made it to Vacaville, got off the off-ramp, left it at a service station, and somebody came and got me. I don't know how. I don't remember from there. All I remember is it happened.
Yeah, your radio quit eventually. You'll lose it all. And I apologize for interrupting, Duncan. Go ahead, man.
No, that's the end of the story. I've had it. Shit happened to me before like that.
So you come home, you get the you get the very legal vape thing out, and you just say, "Terpenes take me away."
Yeah, and a cold beer.
So did any of the idiot lights come on your dash, or?
No. They turn off. I mean, the car would run. I mean, when it started at Les Schwab, the car was running. They turn off. Everything turned off. And as soon as he took the jumper cables off, the guy just died.
That's concerning. Usually you'll get like the little battery light will come on, you know, but who knows?
I don't have a battery light.
Well, there you go. Bank. That probably explains it. Yep.
When you turn your key on, you ain't got nothing.
Yep. That's really all the clue you need, Steve.
Yeah, I get it.
I mean, at that point in time, you don't need to haul out Sherlock Holmes and do the whole deductive reasoning thing.
Right. Or hook it up to the computer and, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with my car? No, it's an alternator, more than likely. If I had to plink money down, that's what I would say.
So I got a question.
I'm a good neighbor.
Yeah, no kidding. I got a question for the gang.
She owed me.
Anybody know what a condition called trigger finger is?
It would have to be with your index.
Yes, I do.
Isn't that what Wayne Lapierre suffers from, guys?
Curl up.
No. Yeah, I have it.
Oh, it's painful.
Can't straighten out your finger.
Can't straighten out your finger,
and you have to straighten it out manually, and you feel like the constable from Young Frankenstein.
Yes,
I wake up every morning, and the middle finger of my left hand is folded down into my palm, and I fold it open. I fold it open, and I say, "A riot is an ugly thing."
On just one hand, it's not symmetrical.
No, it can happen to any of them.
No.
It sounds like osteoarthritis is what I'm getting.
Yeah. It isn't. It isn't.
It's not.
Is it like hammer toe is, but it's hammer finger, I guess?
No.
Something like
no,
that?
This is,
no.
The,
no.
It's, it just has, it just, it has to do with, one of the capsules, and it can happen to any finger. In my case, it happened to, my left middle finger, and I've got
it
a little
funny,
bit.
Bob,
I've got a little.
Every time I see Trump, my middle finger just goes straight up, and I have to put it back down.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's debilitating, Joe, because I have to work too hard every time his face shows up on the screen. I'm sitting there unfolding my goddamn finger. Fuck Trump.
You're running out of your peanut butter and banana sandwiches. How about?
Oh yeah, and the barrel on the Elvis gun is smoking. But anyway, I had a follow up with the doc today, and this is a case of one of those moments where you wonder if the cure was worse than the disease. And so I went to the doc today to find out, you know, to report back on the new blood pressure medicine, and everything seems to be working. And That's groovy. And along the way, I said, you know, Doc, this is driving me crazy. He goes, well, let's fix it.
They want to cut a ligament.
No.
No?
Oh, are you kidding? I couldn't afford to have a ligament cut. No, he goes.
It hurts.
He goes and he gets a needle with what looks to be about an inch and a half of this milky fluid in it that turns out is, I guess, hydrocortisone.
Cortisone, yeah.
And I hold out my left hand, palm up, and I said, I've heard this painful. I've heard this is painful. And the doc, being an honest guy, looks at me and says, oh, yeah, this hurts.
This is going to suck, bro.
Yeah. And
yeah, I was getting cortisone shots in my hip
and
my back. It was got because, well, most of it had to do with my weight, but it was they had to actually have to give me a epidural. It was actually, you know, I had to, you know, give me anesthesia because of how long the needle was and how deep it was going to have to go. Yeah, that was fun.
Well, I just...
And it fucking hurts.
Yes, yeah. That's the whole thing. I'm sitting here in pain, real pain.
How long ago did you get it done?
Let's see. 6 hours ago.
Oh, no, really? Fuck, no, no, no. It shouldn't still hurt. That's the whole point of the cortisone.
Well, it does.
That part.
And it mostly hurts where the needle went in. Because they have to inject it straight into the capsule. And the best part of it is once he got the needle in, which hurt, then he started wallering it around a little bit to make sure he got the cortisone all over the place. And
Tracy's familiar with Toradol shots too.
Not to ruin dinner in the Mountain Time Zone or anything. Yep. But when he backed that needle out, a little bit of blood and a whole bunch of cortisone went squirt. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yuck.
He didn't numb your finger?
No.
He should have put a topical on it first.
He didn't numb you before he put the cortisone in?
This is West Virginia. We don't do that sissy numbing shit.
Fuck y'all. No, because when I get the cortisone shots, well, I haven't had them in a long time, but it depends on which doctor I went to. I actually had my one doctor... My rheumatologist, he actually does like a biofreeze kind of thing that he puts on, and it numbs me. Mm-hmm. But there's not one time that I've done this that they didn't put lidocaine or something.
Well, the good news is it's not hitching up on me. I've been and he said massage it, the pain will go away. I mean, that's the doctor version of the whole West Virginia. Hell, rub some dirt on it. Walk it off.
Yeah, Bob, I've had two cortisone shots in my shoulder. They just stuck it in there and just pushed it in.
When I played guitar, I would wake up in the middle of the night and my hand would be like a claw. It would be like a separate entity in my body. I'd look at it and say, the claw. And it hurt, man. So I know. What you're up against, bro?
Every time I get my knee injection, they use that spray on free stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then he gives me a numbing shot, and before he gives me the orthovisc shot, the numbing shot's the one that hurts worse than the orthovisc.
Well, and I think that's part of it, Sparky. But the other part of it is, remember, you know, I'm still uninsured, so maybe pain management is extra.
Yeah, that could be.
My God, take in a tube of Orajel and say, hey, Doc, use this next time, you know, before you get started.
Ron and Raleigh knows, subject line, shoot fire, suck it up, rub some dirt on it and call it good.
Get a leather belt, right?
my shoulder's still a little sore from the flu shot I got on Tuesday.
Yeah, you know what, that sucker, it took about a week for that sore to go away.
Yep.
I get the old people's flu shot.
The double dose?
I don't know.
Yeah, I got one of those too.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Tracy.
Because because I probably won't be listening for too much longer. Today I weighed in.
Yes.
And I am down 2.2 pounds for the week and 50.6 pounds total weight loss since June.
You have crossed the 50-pound event horizon.
I have crossed the 50-pound. Awesome. I swam yesterday.
Tough
I swam
to do, man.
14 laps yesterday, 10 laps this morning, and then I did another 18 laps at a noon workout.
You machine, Tracy, I tell you. Whoa, a workout machine. Pretty soon you're going to go line up aerobics or something.
Well, hey, Tracy, would you like to know where those 2 pounds went?
To you?
Yep, I got them. I was 2 pounds heavier today than I was last week.
No, seriously?
Really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, last week I was 225. Today I was 227.
Now we weigh the same. Ha-ha!
Oh, my God. You're within striking distance of me, Tracy. Jeez.
I'm 227.
Wow.
Oh, and here's the funny part. Here's the funny part. So, because, like I said, I was going for a swim after my Weight Watchers meeting. So, I swam this morning. I have two suits. So I put on the other suit and just my cover up. And so when I got to weigh in, my first weigh in, I was down 49.4 pounds. And I'm like mere ounces away from the 50 pound mark. So the woman that weighed me, she's like, "You have on your bathing suit under that cover up, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Take off the cover up." So when I took off the cover up, that's when it dropped. Kicked me up to 50.6 pounds. So the cover-up weighs 4 ounces or 6 ounces or something. I can't do the math right now. I'm too fucking tired.
We will take every ounce, Tracy. Yeah,
well, I will take every ounce. So from now on, I am fucking weighing in my bathing suit. Fuck that shit. And yes, full-on bathing suit, saggy ass. And
how about your birthday suit, Tracy? How about weighing in your birthday suit?
That's a no.
No, okay.
And if you can,
that's a big negatory rubber duck.
That helps.
Yeah, that too. But in honor of my 50.6 pound, so fuck it, I'm going to say 51 pounds. I'm trying to come up with a challenge that would, let's see, 25.
Well, I mean, you started, 20, you went with the fuck Trump last night. And so we've got the unfit for office $400 challenge on. So,
right.
You know, if you want to just jump in there and tell people to come along behind you and jump in hopes of the next 50.
Yes, in hopes of the next 50, because I don't know, pie in the sky kind of motherfucker, but who knows, at this rate I actually might hit under 200 pounds by the end of the year. If I don't, I don't. Because at this point, I have to lose like 27.6 or something. Basically, I'd have to lose 28 pounds to be at 199.999999.
Close enough.
Well, hey, so thank you, Tracy. I appreciate that. Let's see. Let's do the ciphering real quick. So
oh, no,
that,
not the ciphering.
Yeah, the ciphering. That takes us below the $300 mark on the challenge. And it takes us down to $789 on finishing the week. So if we can do 289. Yeah, 289 more will finish the week because it'll meet the challenge. So let me. I want everybody to stay real, real quiet for a minute, because I need Tracy to do something for us here. you know, Lady B wrote a little bit ago.
Oh, about the motherfucker.
Yeah, and she said Tracy will say the motherfuck Trump for me. Tell her these are stage instructions. Okay.
I'm being directed.
You're being directed. You're an artiste.
I can say a motherfucker like. Ooh.
Yeah. Tell her to twist her neck while she's saying it.
that part. The old, you know, yes, let's see.
Okay, so I'm gonna count you down. I'm gonna give you a 3, 2, 1, and then you're gonna do it because this'll make it real easy for Brother Deacon Asa to clip it out.
Don't say the one, Bob.
No, seriously. Tell me exactly what am I supposed to say, motherfucker? Wait, tell me what I'm supposed to say.
Well, it's in that email, it was motherfuck Trump, but the original statement, courtesy of Lady B, was fuck Trump, that no good motherfucker, with a long ah. And I think that's the part where you turn, I think that's the part where you twist your neck.
Right. So I'm ready when you are.
Okay, I'm going to count you down.
That no good motherfucker, right?
Fuck Trump, okay. That no good motherfucker.
That no good motherfucker. Okay, all right. Do you want it with a fucker or fucker?
No, it's spelled M-U-T-H-A-F-U-C-K-A-A-A-A-A-H.
A-A-H, okay.
Okay, and so okay. I need like a split second between Trump and that. So it's fuck Trump, that no good motherfucker. I'm going to, and yes, Steve, I will say one. Okay, so I'm going to count you down 3, 2, 1.
You're a contrarian.
No, I'm a professional. One comes before the finger, the cue. So everybody,
I've pulled over so I can do this without.
Okay.
You know,
we got good audio from you. So
you got good audio for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody else quiet and 3, 2, 1.
Fuck Trump, that no good motherfucker.
And it's a wrap.
All right. You do a bumper, Bob.
Put it in the can. Put it in the can.
It will be.
One take.
Well, Tracy's a pro.
How come on the TV they always skip the one? What's that all about?
Well, that's because
they just don't say.
They don't say it, right?
Yeah, that's Trace. Because it's exactly. TV.
All right,
and a lot of times in a recording studio or in a booth, you just see the fingers 3, 2, 1.
I got it.
And when you get to the one finger, you point.
Got it. Learn something new every day.
I was going to actually go. It's so funny because I was about to pull into my driveway. I was going to park my car and walk to my post office box like I do pretty much every day. But you know what? I think not. Because I just, bitch, you're going to do a 5K tomorrow morning. I don't need to do shit all else today.
No. You can just sort of. Decouple yourself and climb right down off the cross for the rest of the evening.
Right. You know, I think I have put in work today. I mean, and it was so funny because my swim coach was like, you can do, because I had gotten up to 10 laps and I was like, okay, I'm tired. And he's like, well, do two more. And I'm like, all right. And so when I did the two more, he's like, well, you know, we got time. You could do two more. I'm like, motherfucker, you said 14 laps. No, it was 12. Yeah, I did 12, and then he said do two more. So I got to 14. And then he's like, well, you know, you got to cool down. I'm like, the fuck if I don't? I've stopped. That's cool down enough for me. Fuck that. So he cajoled and bitched. So I did two more laps. And then he's like, well, now you got two more. And I'm like, you know what? See, this is some bullshit. Because I already swam 10 laps this morning. He's like, well, at this point, you know, what's two more laps? I'm like, oh.
Oh, and by the way, Randy in PA is suggesting you may want a carb load tonight.
Yeah, I am. Because I'm doing that tomorrow, and then on Thanksgiving, I'm doing a turkey trot. What? What's so funny?
Oh, what? Nothing's funny, Tracy. I just want to say we're really proud of you.
Thank you. No, yes, both runs tomorrow. There are two twos involved in both runs. Did I ever post those pictures? Did you guys? Did I? No, I didn't. I did when I did the Day of the Dead 5K last month. I had a red and black tutu. Tomorrow's 5K. It's like pastel colors, which I really hate. but my best friend's mom made my tutu. And then the turkey trot tutu has all the, you know, the Thanksgiving colors, red, I think red, gold, brown, and black. I'm not remembering. Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. So
maybe some more, some burnt orange in there somewhere.
I think something like that. Yeah. So,
Gary, who's in the group there, jumped in and responded to you, Tracy. We're now down to 264 to go to meet the unfit for office challenge. And yeah. Hey, by the way, fuck hey, Trump.
Who's yeah. calling? Who's saying my name? I can't.
Billable Rick.
Tracy, this is Gary. Hey.
Oh, that's Gary.
Oh, it's Gary. Yeah. Hey, Gary. How are you, sweetheart?
Good luck on your weight loss. 4 years ago, I lost 80 pounds. So.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the deal. I still, even after this 50 down, I still have at least 60 more to go.
Yeah, but I know it's. I dropped about 80 pounds, and it's tougher than a lot of people think. But it's if you even get through it.
Well, it's, you know, I think this time, because I've never been this physically active. Ever, even when I did Weight Watchers a few years, about 2 or 3 years ago, I worked out sort of, but this week I did a boot camp on Monday, and I did a boot camp today. Plus after the boot camp, I did a 15-minute walk, for a 15.5-minute walk to get me to a mile, and then I swam the 10 laps, and I swam 14 laps yesterday and walked a mile and a half. And so, and each day, I move every day. Even my rest days are maybe a mile walk, and then my abs and definitely stretching. I do a regular stretch, and then I do a foam roller to get a really deep, breaking up the fibers in my muscles and stuff like that. But it's I feel better. It's just when I don't work out, if I don't move, even as tired as I can be, I got to do something, because if I don't, I don't feel right. I think it's become a part of me.
Yeah, it has.
You know,
it takes time to break a habit. It also takes time to make a habit, and you've made a very, very good habit. Oh, and Brother Deacon Asa tells me, got it.
Did it turn out right?
Yeah, it took.
Didn't I do another one yesterday too? Was that yesterday?
Yeah, but you were using your Bluetooth headset yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of tinny. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? Anything to get the cause and to get everything across, because at this point, I mean, between the bullshit and Lindsey Graham with his, you know, bless his heart, with his precious self. God love him. Bless his heart.
Yeah.
He's special. You know, and I just the flip flopping, the hypocrisy, the all around. Like I was texting you yesterday, and I got to the point during that hearing yesterday. I was listening to it on the radio because I was driving. And I had to turn it off. I couldn't with those people anymore. It was just an a realm past beyond ridiculous.
Yeah, I hear you. I have to walk away sometimes too, or you'll lose your mind, man.
And on top of that, I think
going at the TV with the Spicoli moment.
You dick.
On top of the fact, I can't smoke weed legally, which is
because of your job.
Bullshit. Because of my job, because I pee test. So oh, man, I can't eat. Because Beauregard, Jefferson Beauregard.
Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions Beauregard, the turd.
The turd. You know, because, you know, weed is the gateway, and Uncle Joe say, oh, no, he has graduated from.
Yeah,
Uncle
we promoted Joe, him to grandpa.
To Grandpa Joe. You know, these motherfuckers aren't based in reality and calling weed a fucking gateway drug. Fuck you.
Oh, but we, hey, Tracy. Tracy, we do have some LA news.
Uh-oh.
No, well, it's kind of good news. It's terrifying, but it's good news.
What?
In LA County this week alone, authorities have stopped two potential school shootings.
Yes.
The Santa Clarita one, they didn't stop. But this one, a student at Animo May Jemison Charter Middle School. Oh, look, a charter school.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Betsy DeVos.
Yeah.
What?
The L.A. County Sheriff's Office announced that they had discovered a 13-year-old male, and he had an AR-15 and 100 rounds of ammunition and a list of the folks he planned to kill and a drawing of the layout of the school.
And what's the other one? Did you say there was two?
Yeah, there were two, but I'm looking at the NBC News copy here, and I don't see it. But they say that there have been in the wake of the Santa Clarita shooting, that there have been a series of threats to schools.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I told you about this morning, that's something that could have been entirely preventable. The little boy that was killed but with a gun in his, he was a foster child in Leimert Park.
Oh, Jesus.
5 years old, got a hold of a gun and shot himself in the head. And of course he's dead. And I hope DCFS removed any other children that are in that house, because, why the fuck is there a gun that can a five-year-old could get a hold of? And I don't know if I'm using it correctly, because that word, irony and ironic, people fuck it up. But the baby's name was Justice. And I can't wrap my head around that. And that was just a couple of days ago. And then earlier this week, I think I told you about the, I don't know if she was white, but I'm pretty sure she was, because it was up in Santa Clarita. Maybe there's something in the water up there now. But this woman was driving, crashed not once, but twice, killing one of her children that day. The one baby died on the scene. The other one died just yesterday. Oh, by the way, when she crashed the car not once, but twice, she was driving naked. And so she jumped out the car after the second crash and was running down the streets naked.
Good God, the world's gone mad.
The world's gone meth, Steve.
Yeah.
Because that's not opioids, and that's not that marijuana gateway drug.
No, that's some fucking Sherm or something. That's PCP. Yeah. I don't even, I haven't heard anything else about it. Yep. Because I think she's still in the hospital. And I don't know, Rick, was they be legally able to give to test her her blood or what to do a drug test on her?
The rule is if she's unconscious. There's a new Supreme Court case that came out, I think, last term, which gives the police the right to do a blood test, an involuntary blood test, if somebody's unconscious and unable to give their consent if it appears that they may be under the influence of some illegal or even a a drug. Okay. Legal or illegal drug.
Isn't that a illegal search and seizure?
No, I think Supreme Court said 5-4. It's not, as I recall.
Well, of course it said 5-4. Of course it said 5-4.
I think I'm right, Bob. Is that right?
Or
is
I think it was 5-4.
5-4. Okay. Okay. And we can guess who's in the majority and who's in the minority, most likely.
Although,
sometimes in criminal justice, you get strange crossovers.
It wouldn't take Karnak the Great to figure that one out, would it?
Usually not. No. Usually not.
Nice Karnak reference, Steve.
Criminal law is a little bit different. Unless it's a death penalty. Death penalty is very predictable where the conservatives end up, where the so-called liberals end up, or moderates end up. So. Yeah, that's crazy, Tracy. I mean, it sounded like that story of
a guy like in Florida on bath salts or something, you know?
Yeah, eating
somebody's face.
You expect something like that when, and you know, starting with out with Florida man.
You do.
You know, you don't expect shit. I mean, I know we is like again. I do not live in a bubble. California ain't all peaches and cream and all and sugar on top and all that other bullshit.
Nowhere is, hon.
But typically we don't have people crashing their car not once but twice and jumping up the car running down the street naked.
Sounds like some spice involved.
Yeah. I saw the story, and my first thought was, please don't let her have West Virginia plates. Please don't let her have West Virginia plates. Yes. Please don't let her have West Virginia plates.
So
she's like, an upstanding citizen of L.A. County, probably, Bob.
Look, and you're like, this bitch drove all the way from West Virginia to show her ass.
Well, shit, no. We had people drive all the way from Minnesota to bash a dude in the brains, shoot him up with meth, and then strangle him to death.
because you go to
McDowell County, it's like, well, shit, that you know, that's just any day that ends in Y in McDowell County. Goddamn,
par for the course there.
They'll never suspect Minnesota Nice of doing that down here.
Mingo County, right?
Fuck Minnesota Nice to carry on our theme tonight.
I just posted a story in the chat about a Florida man arrested in Redding, California.
Oh, no, not Florida man.
Yes.
God, what a hell of a state.
Florida ain't far from it. Florida man, half alligator, half panther, arrested in California.
For
a hate crime.
See it on Channel 9 News at 5 at 6.
But in any event.
Hey, Tracy, you're breaking up something fierce, dear.
No.
I'm getting ready to go, but I love you guys.
Love you too, hon.
Love you too.
Take care. And so, but if my challenge is met, even though it's not a challenge, but sort of kind of challenge to make up for the deficit that the other challenges is going to leave, then I will throw in undisclosed amenity on top of that. So,
okay.
Hey, go like hell, Tracy. Go like hell this weekend.
Rock on, man. Rock on.
So you guys take care. Enjoy the rest of the evening. And I'll talk again to y'all soon.
All right.
I hope so.
Stay carb load and hydrate, Tracy. You take care, dear. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so in case that was garbled for anybody, Gary knocked out 25 of the 51 that Tracy was talking about. If somebody else will come along and knock out the other 26, then Tracy will kick in an undisclosed amount to finish off whatever overage is left after the challenge is met. And it's not a lot, but it's there. So thank you very kindly, Tracy. We are at 264 to finish the Unfit for Office Challenge. We got a little bit more than an hour to go in the program so we can have a whole delightful week of fundraising-free radio next week. So let's see. If somebody meets at 6, that's 258. 20. That'll take us down to 238. And we're getting close. That's a hell of a big challenge on the table, and I hope it gets met. Has anybody? Oh, and by the way, fuck Trump. Has anybody seen or heard the clips from where he called into his favorite morning show today?
I heard it was like 50 minutes long. He just kept rambling. Is that true?
I heard about 3 minutes of it and it was all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he called into Fox and Fiends, and apparently the Adderall was just kicking in. Because, man, he was lit.
You got any of that, Bob?
Well, I do, as a matter of fact. Funny you would ask.
Yeah, cool.
The best part was where he was talking about corruption. And, you know, I've warned time and again that he is in the hands of the goddess of irony. And he proved today that he so is. Listen carefully.
ago, your ambassador to the United, to the EU, Mr. Sondland, in his opening statement, said that there was quid pro quo. There was quid pro quo, he said, because you wanted an investigation into corruption in exchange for a visit to the White House or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's total nonsense. I do want always corruption. I say that to anybody. Why should we give money to a country that's known corrupt? It's a very corrupt country. I mean, I love the people in Ukraine. I know Ukrainian people. They're great people. But it's known as being the third most corrupt country in the world.
Did you catch it? I do want always corruption. I say that to anybody.
I do want always corruption. I say that to anybody.
Sometimes you have to kind of catapult the propaganda. Sometimes the truth comes out, Bob.
Freudian slip.
Remember Dim Leader said that?
Yes.
About propaganda. Yep. So sometimes the truth is revealed. I think it's the spider keeps talking. They basically forced him to speak against his will.
Oh, but it was, and among other things, he brought up CrowdStrike again. Which, if anything else was paid to this week, that was. There's no CrowdStrike is bullshit. There's no Hillary server hidden in a basement in Ukraine. No, it isn't. It's just entirely made up bullshit baloney. Okay.
How about that pizza joint in
It's not a Comet ping pong pizza either.
Yeah.
But damn. it was so bad that even Steve Ducey,
they were trying to shoo him off.
Was
they?
Trying to get him away from it. He said, yeah. "They get the Brian Kilmeade says, well, Trump says
they have the server from the DNC,
and Kilmeade says, yeah, who has the server?
They gave the server to CrowdStrike, which is a company owned by a very wealthy Ukrainian."
Which is, and I can only imagine that there's somebody in Steve Ducey's IFB going ixnay on the oud cray ike stray.
Yeah, so Steve, get him out of here.
So Steve Ducey says, "Are you sure they did that?"
Well, that's what the word is.
And meanwhile, Marie Yovanovitch. Well, you know why he hates her?
This ambassador that everyone says is so wonderful. She wouldn't hang my picture in the embassy. This was not an angel, this woman, okay?
Oh, my God.
And there were a lot of things that she did that I didn't like.
Oh, jeez.
She wouldn't hang my picture.
How fucking petty.
And the Republicans in the hearing, they didn't attack her enough. They didn't attack her nearly enough.
But wait.
And the reason they did it, it's because she's a woman. They were afraid to attack her because she's a woman.
When everybody has a minute, I got a question. I don't want to step on anybody, so.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Is anybody else going to feel like going Elvis on their TV after the Senate acquits him and he starts bragging about a. See, witch hunt.
Well, I mean, we've known
evidence
that. Overwhelming. We've known that was going to be the outcome all along, haven't we, Steve?
Yeah. But still, it's going to get under my skin.
No, the braying and the crowing and the celebrating. Our good godly God Emperor Donald Trump was exonerated by, was totally exonerated by the Senate. Goodness.
And one more comment, and then I'll shut the F up. Do you guys know that he met with Susan Collins and Mitt Romney for lunch yesterday?
Oh, yeah, they're plotting.
Buckets of money at him, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, and they're plotting his, they're quietly going about the business of plotting how they will, how they will acquit him. Because the standard for impeachment is near impossible.
There are no statesmen or women anymore.
Not in the Republican Party.
Uh-uh. there's no who is John Dean that went up to the White House and said, "Look, dude, you got to resign. This is just overwhelming." But they don't care.
There were a couple of little
that
things.
Guy's very long in the tooth, Steve. Unfortunately, yeah. There's no John Deans anymore. There's no Howard Bakers anymore.
But there were a couple of moments during the past week that did not escape my attention. It may have blown by some other folks. But at one point in time, I think it was Dev, you know, Moomoo Dev Nunez. And he said something like, we had a bipartisan vote against going forward with this circus. So, hey, dickhead Democrats who voted against the impeachment inquiry, thanks. Thanks for giving Devin Nunez that goddamn talking point, you pricks.
Just so you can keep your job, you assholes, you know. That's all. That's what it's about. They want to keep their cushy jobs, man.
Primary those fuckers.
Need to. And okay, earlier. So, go ahead, Tracy.
I'm sorry. I have a question, and this has nothing to do with politics. But I am pissed off, and when you guys, and I need some feedback because I had a hankering. This is food. This is about food, y'all. I had a fucking hankering for some pumpkin ice cream. I had some. I was thinking about was the ginger snap cookies, and some pumpkin ice cream. Go to Trader Joe's because I heard they had pumpkin ice cream at Trader
You're
Joe's.
You're killing me.
And what happens? The Trader Joe's, they're like, oh, it's not pumpkin season anymore. Horn family, when the fuck did pumpkin season end at the end of October?
Well, how the hell does pumpkin season end before Thanksgiving? Jack-o'-lantern season ends at the end of October.
Haven't these idiots heard of canon? I mean, you can keep it going year-round if you want, man. Jeez.
I mean, so Jam was like, I went to Trader Joe's, and then before I went to Trader Joe's, because I called Jan highly irate, and she's like, well, go to Baskin Robbins. But before I went to Baskin Robbins, I called, they said, oh no, we ended in October. Oh my. And so today she went to the store in hopes, because she went online and saw that Dryers had a slow churn pumpkin ice cream. Somebody else even had a light pumpkin ice cream. And all this, and she gets to Ralph's, no fucking pumpkin ice cream. Dude, seriously? How is it there's no pumpkin ice cream and we're not at Thanksgiving yet? Now, if it was after Thanksgiving, I could see that there would be no pumpkin ice cream. But don't you white folks eat pumpkin pie and shit for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, definitely, yes.
Do. I'm going to make a pie for Thanksgiving, yes.
You know, so...
We love it, yeah.
It's a fucking pumpkin pie. Now, see... Is the universe telling me to make my own pumpkin ice cream?
You got the ice cream maker, right?
I have an ice cream maker.
There you go.
And,
I don't know how labor intensive that is.
No, it's attached. The only part that sucks about my ice cream maker is that it goes on my stand mixer, and it's not spontaneous. You got to freeze the bitch for 12 hours.
Yeah, you got to freeze the bowl.
That freed the bowl for 12 hours.
Well, see, that's the thing. There's a Cuisinart unit out there that you don't have to freeze the bowl.
I know that, and I've been thinking really hard.
But it's like $350 bucks.
I know, but Mama got
you.
And Mama just got a credit card with 0% interest.
Oh, be careful with that, Tracy. They're evil. Credit cards are the devil, man.
Baby, I know that's but. This is somebody that had went from if there was such a thing as a negative credit score to much higher than it.
Don't say the number.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to say, but it was my credit score. I have pretty damn good credit now, but and it's all because I, you know, pay everything off.
Yeah. But, keep doing that. They will suck you in. They're evil. Oh, yeah, they know how to do it.
See, here's the thing. I'm trying. I won't probably get it. It's just it's a pipe dream because I think Jan would kill me because I need a new blender. because my blender is making horrible, horrible noises.
Yeah, and that's where you're going to go for that
the ninja,
that ninja beast.
The kitchen system, the one that comes with $100 and some odd. So, that's probably if I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna do that and just take and just get my ice cream bowl. I probably will go ahead and make the pumpkin ice cream because I've made it before. But see, this way I can control what I put in it. I you know how much sugar. I'll probably use low non-fat half and half. You know, it will still be good. But it won't be as much sugar as, right. You know.
Think of it as a gelato.
You won't be eating bowls of
Hey,
but fat,
yeah, hey, Tracy, right? you know what you can use? And it'll make it just flat out awesome.
What?
Use the Fairlife milk.
Yes.
Because even their fat-free and their 2% tastes like full cream milk.
For real, dog? Oh, yeah, because I remember you talking about
because their whole milk. So their whole milk tastes like half and half.
Really? So yeah. So now, so I'm not crazy. So fucking no. The fact that they stopped selling pumpkin ice cream, Bob. Oh, I'm gonna send you something that you're gonna love.
Mm-hmm.
You're like Scooby Doo, Bob.
Scraggy. Roll, roll. So, remember, you know, because I was saying ginger cookies?
Yeah.
Trader Joe's has these triple ginger cookies.
Ooh.
And they're very thin, and there's pieces of candy. I kid you not, ginger in the cookie.
Oh, like that crystallized candied ginger?
Yes!
Bring it.
So you are going to be getting a care package pretty soon with, you know, with the jam and the right tea and now cookies and what's that damn hot sauce that you like?
Yuzu.
Yuzu. I tried it. Was to my thing. I might just send you the bottle that I opened in because I tried. I'm like, not my thing, too vinegary. But why let it go to waste?
Having mentioned it, it might be. Wait a minute, you mentioned the yuzu. I keep the bottle back here for emergencies.
Yeah, fucking addict. But anywho, I'm your pusher, man. Whenever I think of you and that stuff. I hear Curtis Mayfield, you know, with that in the background singing, "I'm your pusher man," your pusher girl or whatever. So anyway,
you got a food porn suggestion in reference to the pumpkin. James in Illinois says use butternut squash. It's better than pumpkin anyway, and it's all about the spice anyway too. So yeah.
Okay, but fuck, I had something else I was going to say. God damn it.
I know.
CRS. But anyway, damn it. And it was pertinent and it was important. And now it's gone. So in any event, I'm gone for real now. I'm going to still listen and just put you guys on mute. I mean, put myself on mute, rather. And again, I will talk soon. You guys say something that is interesting, then I'll kick back in. But for now, Tracy out and in search of fucking pumpkin. I know what I was gonna say. Thank you. If I keep talking, so to tie me over until I feel like, you know, breaking out. Because I think I told you about this. My good friend made pumpkin dip for the Halloween party. And so it's basically pumpkin pie filling, but he made it into a dip with confectioner's sugar, the pumpkin, you know, canned pumpkin, and
like a little cream cheese or something. Yeah.
No cream cheese. Maybe I gotta ask him.
Confectioner's
sugar, and oh my god, and you used it and you dipped the ginger cookies in that to make the dip.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yummy. Yes. So. So now anybody that, you know, if I'm on the great hunt for fucking pumpkin ice cream, but like I said, more than likely I'll just make my own. And if I do, I'll send you guys a report of
you gotta post food porn pictures at the Horn page.
Yes, that part. So anyway, Tracy out. You guys have a good evening, and if you know I hear anything, I'll chime in. But until then, I'm out. All right.
Run well. Bye. Run well.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye, Tracy.
Hey,
long may you run, Tracy. Take care, Tracy.
Hey, Christopher, I wanted, because I didn't get to, I didn't talk to you last week. You weren't in the group, I don't think. But I wanted to extend my thanks to you. Because
good. I heard you talking about it.
I'm now a Penzi's devotee, and thanks to the anonymous individual who sent along a big old Penzi's care package, but I specifically wanted to make reference to the Pico Fruta.
Yeah. What have you been using it on?
What haven't I used it on? I sliced grapes and put it on it. I put it on pineapple. I put it on mango, and yes, I put it on banana. And it was awesome. It was just awesome.
That's great, Bob. That's great. And I heard, did you use the Northwoods seasoning as well?
Oh yeah, and the sandwich shake. I mean, and I made homemade hot chocolate with the Dutch processed cocoa powder that they sell. Phew!
Oh, that's fantastic. Now there's one spice I haven't tried yet. I haven't used it, but you can use it to season steaks, and they're supposed to come out just like a Chicago steakhouse steak.
Yeah.
And I think it's a Chicago steak seasoning, and that's what it's called. And so if you can get a hold of that.
Zed up in Iowa sent me a big old two-box care package of some herbs and spices. I can open a restaurant this spring. I'm set. And I got a big old tub of Chicago steak seasoning. And I'm thinking somewhere along the way, maybe doing a standing rib of beef and just coating it in that Chicago seasoning and smoking it that way, and then slicing it paper thin.
That'll be virtuous. Ugh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, doesn't it? Doesn't it just? But that Pico Fruta was just game change.
It's beautiful stuff. You can do anything with that.
Can you put it on pumpkin ice cream?
Great question.
I would not hesitate to, because it's primarily a little bit of a, I mean, there's the spice, but the flavor of chili with some lime added into it and just a tiny little hint of sugar. And wow. And it was fantastic on avocado.
Ooh. Sounds like you poured on scrambled eggs, man. The way you all are talking.
I may very well.
Hmm.
Chris, how you been, brother? It's been a while, man.
It has. You know, I've been busy the last couple Fridays, but I made it a point to join in today. So
thank you for doing that. Sincerely. Did you get to catch any of the impeachment?
Well, you know what? I was listening to it at work, you know, throughout the, you know,
right,
Progressive.
This week.
Everybody at Progressive Voices had it going, you know. So Stephanie and Tom, and they all had it going the whole day. Randy. And so I did catch pretty much everything. And I mean, it's there. I mean, the case is made. And
it seems to be airtight for a reasonable thinking person. But once it heads to the Senate, you know, that's the key, you know.
Yeah. Well, so
and the problem is the Trump Penzies, I think all the air escapes from their heads. So that's the problem.
And all kidding aside, Billable Rick, we had a note from Libby who said, so he's not going down? Just asking if you have the time. No, he's not going down. It takes 67 votes to convict in the Senate.
They don't have it. They don't have it.
And my vote is for the meteor in 2020 to take us out before Trump is taken out.
Of course, he'll be on the White House lawn with all his minions, and he'll be, see, I told you, witch hunt, all that bullshit. And I don't know if I could take that.
Right, and see, the Republicans have taken, because every defense they've mounted has fallen apart. It just
crumbled like dirt.
Yeah, I mean, it was it's like a saltine in the rain. It just sort of dissolved into the ground.
Exactly. Give yourself a pet cowbell, my friend.
Oh, thank you. And so now it's been a series of fallback positions, And now their ultimate fallback position, as was enunciated by Will Hurd. Now, remember, this guy is a former CIA agent, and he's bailing out. He's leaving Congress because he just can't stand it anymore. But he said he's going to vote against any articles of impeachment because it doesn't rise to the level of an impeachable offense. So that's what they're going to say. Well, yeah, it was terrible, but it ain't no impeachable offense. Bribery is an impeachable offense. And like I said, when you get around to the obstruction of Congress and refusing lawful subpoenas, all you got to do is put Precious Lindsey on a loop saying, when you do that, you've obstructed Congress, and that there is an impeachable offense. Everybody down at 12 Oaks at Ashley's Barbecue done told me so.
And they freaked out over Clinton getting a blowjob, but this is not impeachable. Yep. You know,
sperm on a blue dress. That's the only impeachable offense.
That's because they wish they were getting one too.
What did you hear? Monica Lewinsky is not. She's not voting Democratic. Yeah. He said the Democrats left a bad taste in her mouth.
Oh, Jesus. Unfortunately,
it depends on.
Oh, that was funny.
Well, okay. Joe, if you want to go out there and get Me Too'd.
How about emergency cowbell for Joe there?
No,
cowbell misery anticipation.
Remember, here comes Tracy. I was just going to listen. And I was like, unless somebody said something that I would have to say something. Joe, come the fuck on.
I knew we'd get you back, sweetheart. Too funny.
Fucking God.
Hey, y'all, just a quick reminder. We are less than 55 minutes away from the end of the program. We don't make the challenge if we don't come up with 264 more bucks, period. Okay, that's where it is. We got 53 minutes to come up with 264 bucks. That's 10 at 26 bucks or 26 people at 10 bucks or any combination that comes up to 264 bucks. But I'd like to be done with November. And I think we all do get a kick out of the fundraising free radio for a week. So if we can do it, please, let's do it. And hopefully we will, especially since it's the unfit for office fuck Trump challenge. I haven't let me do the time check here. I haven't gotten to say fuck Trump I haven't gotten to say fuck Trump since 7:26 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when Gary kicked in on Tracy's celebration of her 51 pounds. That's 38. That's 44 minutes ago since the last fuck Trump. So if we can take down this last 264, man, it'll be huge. It will be tremendous. Sorry, I don't mean to hammer on it, but, you know, time's sort of running out on us. And thanks to everybody who's gotten us as far as we are. Note coming in from Steve in New York, this being the 22nd of November and all. Steve says, I know I'm getting here very late, and I know this may seem non sequitur-ish, but I'd like to remind everyone, if you haven't done so already, and I did at the beginning of the program, to remember that today is the 56th anniversary of JFK's assassination. Let us see how far we've come. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Grab them by the pussy. They let you if you're famous.
Orange Hitler. So, yeah. And Jim reminds us that... JFK died for this country on this day in November 1963. He said, I admired John Kennedy and idolized him as a young man. President Kennedy led me into public service as a teacher and subsequent federal employee with the DOD, Army, and Air Force. I love this man, his charming spouse, and beautiful children. When I lived in Washington on cold Sunday afternoons, I caught the blue line to Arlington and visited his and Mrs. Kennedy's grave. Faced by the stone plinths containing excerpts from his speeches, one felt the warmth from the eternal flame. Often, I wept while saluting the memory of this inspiring president taken too soon. I'm grateful for having shared, if only tangentially, a period all too brief with such an individual, one man in his time. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Thank you very kindly.
I would say that JFK would have to be one of the people on Mount Rushmore of the people you would think, if he had lived longer, how much of a different world we would have today. You know, John Lennon, I think, is one of those people, and JFK is certainly one of those people.
Well, one of the first things you have to take into account, Chris, is that there probably would not be 55,000 names on that black granite wall on the mall in D.C.
58,000.
Yeah, 58,000 now. Yeah.
That's absolutely true, right?
And there are those who suggest that that's a big part of why he wound up being killed. Hey, thank you, Steve, and little Cletus, and little Twiggy, and Miss Karen. Thank you. You and Ralphs just took us down to 244. We're $6 from finishing Tracy's sub-challenge, and she'll kick in an undisclosed figure after that to if we meet the rest of the challenge. So so we're at 244 and about 48 minutes and change to go. Thank you both so very kindly.
Hey, Bob, this is Gary. Yeah, I'm going to take off here, guys. My neighbor across the street had a stroke last week, and it doesn't look like she's going to make it too much longer.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
Yeah, I know. She's 84. She was 84 years old, so.
Still sucks, though, Gary. Sorry, thanks for checking in, bro.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Gary. Thanks a bunch, brother.
And thanks for you being a good neighbor to your neighbor as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Take care, guys. I'll be on next week, probably.
All right, good deal. See you around. Meanwhile, I just got a note from Shorty in L.A. Oh, heck no. I just got home. Hey, is all of Southern California out of pumpkins? Her name is Tracy, not Charlie Brown. Where the hell is that? I hate my job, chump-ass pumpkin head fucker.
Well, my question is, if you still roll into Starbucks, can you still get a pumpkin spice latte or no more?
Oh, no, it's too soon. See, the guys at Trader Joe's just got confused. Pumpkin season ends at the end of October insofar as pumpkins are used for jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah.
But pumpkin season is just starting in terms of harvest feasting.
What about pies?
Right.
You don't have pumpkin pies for Halloween, do you?
No.
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 Pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, maybe.
Ooh, you know what?
You don't need a physical pumpkin to make pumpkin pie.
They do put it in cans. That's true.
Are you talking about Heise, the convenience store, Rick?
About what now?
Heise, the convenience store. There used to be a chain in the Northeast. My gosh, they had the best eggnog ever.
Huh.
And
I'm
when
just
I
talking
moved
about
to
pies
Georgia,
in general.
Okay. When I moved to Georgia, there are no more Heise convenience stores. You know.
Huh. Heise, okay.
But in particular, what pissed off Tracy was that she went to Trader Joe's specifically because people were raving about the Trader Joe's pumpkin ice cream.
Oh, yes. That is very good.
And they pulled it way before Thanksgiving.
What bastards.
Which is just cruel.
That's sacrilegious.
Yeah, religious.
Yeah.
And Gary talking about his elderly neighbor, Randy in PA said, I've got two elderly parents in the hospital, and I myself am suffering from some form of exhaustion, so we're all sick. For those of us on this side of the ideological struggle, I think it has taken a toll on us since not since January 20th, 2017, but since November 8th, 2016, because we knew what was coming. We knew that we were going to be awash in a raging flood tide torrent of filth and graft and grift and corruption, because that is who this man is.
This monster is hurting us, Bob. He is hurting us. People that can think clearly and can see right from wrong, he is physically hurting us.
But he's feeding the lust and of the people that don't care about other people. The empathy less.
Let me ask a question in that regard, Chris. Because people with the corduroy jackets with the leather elbow patches will often say, you know, they'll clench their teeth in they'll clench their meerschaum pipe in their teeth and say, oh, fa fa fa, Madison, Federalist 10, fa 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 fa. How many of us have actually, and I'm not trying to shame anybody or put anybody on the spot, how many of us have actually read Federalist 10?
Not me.
Crickets.
No. You either, Billable Rick?
Me neither. No, I don't have time for that stuff, man. Well, not right now.
You know, stop telling us which Federalist paper to read, Bob.
I listen to Dr. Bill. That's what I do when I get a chance. He's great.
Like I said, you know, stop telling us which Federalist paper to read, Bob. I'm going to suggest, with all of this swirling around, and, you know, it's not like it costs you anything. You can read it online. Go and read Federalist 10. It might be a little bit challenging, and I'm not being a smartass. You know, it's written in 18th century English by a man who was undeniably a genius. And so he strings together ideas in a logical and reasonable and rational fashion, but he does so in sentences that make Charles Dickens look like Ernest Hemingway, okay? And so every sentence is packed with ideas and information. But Federalist 10 is important because Madison deals with what he knows is coming. And what he knows is coming, he sees as the greatest threat to the governmental idea that they're putting forward. And that is what Madison and the rest of them referred to back then as faction.
Right.
What they called faction, we call political parties. And no sooner was the constitutional debate, let alone the ratification, no sooner was the debate underway than bang, everybody broke up into factions. And it has been the hobgoblin of our political existence ever since. And so in this era, and I was reminded of this when I saw a note from Libby. You know about the Senate, my rose-colored glasses again. McTurtle surely won't be voted back this time. Don't bet against him. Anything can happen and will. Let's hope for its best, Bigly. Enjoy Thanksgiving and hoping the family is better. Love, Libby. Thank you, Libby. I'm not trying to be the pessimist to your rose-colored glasses optimist, but it takes 67 votes. The nearest we've ever gotten to removing a president from office is Andrew Johnson. And Andrew Johnson, by the way, was also our last president to be a slave owner. So he was an odious individual, a horrible person. The Republicans insisted that Lincoln ditch Hannibal Hamlin of Maine and put Andrew Johnson on as a conciliatory gesture toward the South. And he missed being removed from office by one vote in the Senate. And that was long before there were 50 states or 100 senators. He missed it by one vote. One sick man, physically ill, insisting upon being carried on a stretcher into the Senate to cast his vote, saved Andrew Johnson. But if you read Federalist 10, you're going to find Madison predicting exactly what we're seeing today in terms of talking about the negative effects of faction. Because what we're seeing now is that people who... a fact pattern that cannot reasonably be understood to be not impeachable offenses are being alleged to be exactly that. Because, like I said, it's a series of fallback positions. And now the fallback position for the Republicans is well, you know, pretty bad what he did, but it's not an impeachable offense. And the Constitution...
That's ludicrous.
Yeah, but the Constitution sort of leaves it as a matter of opinion. Especially if it is driven, as Madison, in Madison's language, by faction. The whole idea of impeachment is not supposed to run on faction. It is supposed to be driven by people who took an oath to do the right thing by the Constitution, which they had sworn the oath to in the first place. Well, that's gone. And so if you read Federalist 10, you will see that in 2019, Madison's worst nightmares are coming true.
The only oath that this Republican Party, these office holders have taken is to their donors.
Yes.
That's the only oath they've taken. There's
and
no
to
oath.
Trump. See,
I was about to say, I disagree, Chris. I think the oath they have taken is to Donald Trump. I mean, we are in a place where this country has as its chief executive a person who is running the kind of cult of personality that we used to decry in places like communist China with, you know, Mao Zedong and Zhou Enlai. Or the cult of personality of Stalin, or more importantly, Lenin.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of societies devolve into authoritarian nightmare states. I mean, consider, we were talking earlier about the really off-the-rails phoner that Nitwit Nero did with Fox and Fiends today. One of the other things that he said, and, you know, get the hockey puck, because, I mean, this is, holy shit.
If it weren't for me, Hong Kong would have been obliterated in 14 minutes. We have to stand with Hong Kong, but I'm also standing with President Xi.
Well, you can't do that. I mean, that's a which side are you on, boy, which side are you on kind of moment.
That's kind of like saying I'm in favor of the Chicago Bears, but I hope the Green Bay Packers beat them.
I'm rooting for the Packers, but I'm rooting for the Bears. I like Bears.
Two things can't be true at once. Those two things can't be true at once. It's either, you know, A or B, but you know, but not both.
Yeah, it's,
but not
if,
A and B.
It's if A or B, not if A and B.
Right.
But the man
Packers playing the 49ers on Sunday Night Football.
That'll be good. Game. That's like the game of the year, yeah.
Well, see, he'll be rooting for the Packers because Wisconsin went for me, and when they play in San Francisco, they'll have to run through mounds and mounds of poo, because that's how it is in San Francisco, and there will probably be tents on the 50-yard line.
Oh, jeez.
Damn.
But I was going to say something, and now I forgot my thought. So, but it was along the lines of what you were talking about, and factions, and you know, we have bled for against cult of personalities. Hirohito, Franco, Mussolini, Hitler, they were all, that's what they built. That was their foundation, was a cult of personality. And we declared war on those people. We sent people off to die to defeat that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and by the way, hey,
and
Joe.
Here we are.
Hey, Joe, thanks for jumping in, man. We're getting close. We're down to, thanks to Joe, we're down to 219 and fuck Trump. We've got $219 to go to meet the unfit for office challenge. We have 35 minutes and change to do it. 219 to go.
That was fuck Pumpkinhead Trump.
Yeah, fuck Pumpkinhead Trump. Exactly.
I don't want nothing to do with that Pumpkinhead. Nothing.
And again tonight, I sit right across the street from Penzies here in Pittsburgh.
Nice. I thought you were up in Ohio. Did you move to Pittsburgh, Joe?
Well, no. I take Richard down here to gamble on the weekends.
Okay.
Nice.
On the boat?
Well, there's not a boat down here. It's called the Rivers Casino. It's right on the Ohio River.
Oh, okay. I didn't know there was casino gambling in Pittsburgh.
And then I'll take him tomorrow. I'll take him down to Washington. He likes it better down there. So.
Oh, Washington, yeah. PA.
Right.
I love Washington, PA.
Yeah. Yep. He does too. By the way, don't be so hard on Meghan McCain. You know, if she her last name wasn't McCain, she would do better than Waffle House. She'd be the Chick-fil-A cow, I think.
Ooh, okay, for that one. Okay, for that one, you get a cowbell. Moo, y'all. Moo.
Thank you. And I think Devin Nunes is looking for her, too, because that's the cow he probably lost. I don't know. It's bizarre. He's just, it's just so upsetting now to see some of the early returns from this impeachment. And you know, the Dems are taking it on the chin. It's just unbelievable after what we've seen. People just don't get it.
Speaking of Devin Nunes, what the hell was he doing over there with Giuliani and Lev?
Hey, I got a question. Did you guys, I don't know if this is a planted story, but I heard that, I don't know if it was The Hill or if it was Politico saying that that all of a sudden there's been a major turn of independence against impeachment as a result of the hearings. Is that just made up crap or what?
No, there's some polling data that shows it's slipping a little bit.
Is it? Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
People are losing interest. The ADD is kicking in.
Well, at this point, I was
it's
just.
It's complicated. There's too many like ethnic names for people to remember everything. You know, these Ruskies and these Ukrainians and so forth, you know.
It is a lot to remember. But I just wish at this point Mitch McConnell would say, well, we're not going to have a trial because I just want to get this thing over with. And people will start to forget all about it as we move on to next year. But if he drags it on the Senate, people aren't going to forget it.
Yeah, I think we talked about before, like what will happen if the impeachment bleeds into primary, you know, season. And that's probably going to be a bad thing for Democrats, right?
The Republicans are trying to keep it going now as long as they can. That's the word out. That's the word that I hear anyway.
Well, they're going to have their own set of hearings, and they're going to bring the Bidens up there, and they'll bring all these other folks and CrowdStrike, probably the owner or whatever, you know, all this other horse shit.
Didn't you play that Biden thing earlier, Bob?
Yeah, I did.
Chris, you hit it on the head, brother. You hit it on the head.
Well, yeah, and it's, look, this is, they don't have any new ideas, Republicans. They never have. And this is just a rehash of Benghazi and Hillary. The whole purpose of this was all along to harm Biden's presidential hopes. And you know what? They've done so. And I gotta be brutally honest. The impeachment inquiry has done him no favors, Biden, because even though the charge was bullshit, it was still day in and day out, Biden, 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 Ukraine, 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 Ukraine. Remember, investigation, investigation, investigation. Remember, Nitwit Nero said, all I want to hear is Clinton, Biden, and investigation. And so he got what he wanted.
Got his wish
out of the impeachment inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's saying he wants to testify now. You know, he's looking forward to it in front of the Senate. Yeah, where he's got.
Yeah,
all
right, stupid. Come on down. You know, I mean, I'm sure Adam Schiff would make plenty of time for you.
He'd love it.
Peter Welch from Vermont said. Since my friend from Ohio keeps hollering about bringing the whistleblower down here because he's the one who started all this, let's bring the real person who started all this down here. We would welcome the opportunity to hear from Donald Trump.
That was fucking great. And by the way, Jordan, his district runs from the northwestern suburbs of Columbus over to near Dayton, all the way up to the western suburbs of Cleveland. Now, how fucked up is that?
Jesus Christ.
God damn.
Piece of work that guy is, man.
Yeah, look that up and see what that fourth district run. It's just
and
fucking
so it's
ridiculous.
All just it's either well-heeled Republican neighborhoods or rural Ohio. Is that about the size of it?
Well, he's got some very wealthy suburbs of western Cleveland and northwest Columbus, and then he's got the farmers, you know, all the way up to...
And pissed off nationalists, too, man.
Oh, and you know who I'd love to talk to about that district? Guy James.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's Guy James country.
Yep.
He hasn't checked in with you in a long time, Bob.
I haven't heard from him.
I get a text message from him every now and then. I have a feeling he's like bunkered up down there on Sanibel and just trying to lay low and avoid the madness. I mean, no offense to our Floridian friends, but you could not pay me to live in Florida right now.
For so many reasons on multifaceted levels, you can't even have time to go into it.
You know, and by the way, speaking of places... You know, I have a deep and abiding soft spot and a warm place in my heart for Australia. Always wanted to see it. The Murray River is a beautiful thing. Sydney's amazing. Brisbane, all of that, all the way to Perth. The fires there have created air that is so toxic. I haven't heard from Robert in Australia or our buddy the Angry Architect, but I read somewhere today that the fires in Australia have made the air so bad in Sydney that it is on a par with the air in the worst polluted places on Earth, like Beijing.
Damn. Holy crap.
That's unreal. We had that in Portland a couple of years ago with the fires here. It was you couldn't breathe when you went outside.
Yeah, the Oak Canopy caught fire in Florida, and it wafted it up here. Yeah, I know. Probably just got a small sample.
Hey, Chris.
Bob, have you ever been to Australia, Bob?
No, I'd love to. It's on the list.
All right. Well, I apologize for interrupting. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was going to ask Chris, since Gordo was pissing and moaning about being picketed the other day, are the pickets still going on at his properties in Portland?
I don't know. You know, I that's the first I heard of that. I want to find out more about that. Maybe I'll tune into the local news tonight and find out what's going on with that. But that's good. I mean, his name is Sullied, and that's terrific. You know, that's good.
Well,
what
Earl Blumenauer said was boycott and picket until he shows up and does his patriotic duty and testifies.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, John Bolton, what's everybody's thoughts on John Bolton? Should we subpoena? Is it worth it subpoenaing him to go in?
No, it's not worth fighting it.
It's not.
No, see, Trump's lawyers went in. You know, Bolton's lawyer filed that suit saying, "Do I honor the subpoena or do I honor the demand of Trump and his claim of executive privilege?" And then Trump's lawyers went in there and argued that the whole damn thing should just be dismissed. So, Billable Rick, unless you've heard otherwise, it's kind of at a standstill, isn't it?
This is the Bolton matter?
Yeah.
And
you know,
Rick,
I have a hard time keeping up with all of this stuff, you know, with a full-time job and
it's different.
Trying to post summary judgment and so forth.
The Don McGahn matter is coming out Monday, though.
Yeah, the McGahn.
That's what I heard.
And that may answer a lot of questions.
Does anybody think there's going to be any more testimony on the Dem side before this gets...
There might be. The Dems are leaning against it, though, because they want to just expedite the thing.
They want, right.
Could the Judiciary Committee call any witnesses?
Sure. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking turtles tend to go into hibernation around November to like March. So I think maybe Mitch is going to like shut down the Senate from that during that period of time and then have the trial in March.
I thought there was a shutdown looming.
it got passed today. A continuing resolution is going to take us right up to right before Christmas, Duncan.
Okay.
If I understand correctly.
And by the way, for hibernating turtles.
Yes.
That was good.
Yeah.
Thanks. Hey, speaking of cowbells, I did White Wedding.
All right.
Yeah, I shared it on Facebook.
I started watching it. Arlene got a kick out of that.
Huh?
I started watching it on Facebook.
Oh, I got it. Okay, so I got to go and see that.
I had to turn it off.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Duncan, you're being cruel.
Got a note from Steve in New York.
Well, that's the way I am.
Surly.
Just straight ahead and no bullshit. That's Sparky.
That's right.
Stephen New York says, independence souring on impeachment. It's true. However, truth be told, I don't think this matters much anymore. The conventional wisdom used to be that this was the group that parties fought over. This is no longer the case. There is no middle the parties fight over anymore. Elections are about turnout, period. A meaningful number of independents is a thing of the past. Meanwhile, Lady B says, the middle and undecided. If you're committed to being a Democrat and supporting Democratic ideals, yet you've decided to give Trump a chance, why the fuck do you even claim to be a member of the party? Why not, that's kind of like Tulsi Gabbard.
Right.
Why not confess that you're a de facto Republican? You can't be fiscally conservative and socially liberal because the fiscal policies you vote for usually hurt liberal causes. Trump was the wolf that told you he would eat you, yet you were one of those sheep who voted for him because you felt like he was
telling it like it is.
I get it. There are upper middle class radical liberals as well as dirt poor ones. Color and income status don't necessarily indicate how you'll vote, but it can be a factor. But there seems to be a type that for some reason insists on straddling the fence. Do you really think there's a socialist plot to take over your precious jobs and way of life? We are America, built on capitalistic ideals. We will never go full socialist. But what's wrong with nationalizing one of the biggest expenditures in our government? Why can't we fund both war and national health care? The other day, my 41-year-old niece asked me what quid pro quo was, because of course she did. 2 days later, her aunt, my older sister, told me that she just couldn't get into the impeachment hearings. I told her just watch The View and they'll condense it down into amusing and dramatic sound bites for her. Yes, I told her that, because she doesn't really care, has never been intellectually curious anyway, and she actually thinks Maury Povich is essential daily viewing. Ouch. But I get it. This is just how it is. This is what we're up against. And actually, it's not a bad thing. I'm glad we have the freedom to be ignorant and dumb. But my God, the richest, most technologically advanced country in the world is full of people who are just as oblivious to giving a fuck about what makes this country tick as a man is about understanding why it's important we women need to take 6 pairs of underwear for a 3-day trip. They actually don't know what Trump did and why we should care. And our mostly elitist Democratic Party leaders act as if they're speaking to people who ventured past reading Romeo and Juliet in high school. I'm burned out, brain dead, knocked out. This shit needs to be over with and done. Dems need to run ads. They need to do a better job of letting folks know this is serious and need to work on getting Americans to understand this shit is serious. Because, yes, there are obtuse people, good people, but obtuse people. We need to make sure we don't have this conversation again. These are the facts. He's got to go. And we will be able to recover because we'll make it so. Otherwise, we're fucked. Comprendi? Love the show. Thank you, Tracy, sister girl. And keep the faith, Bob. Some folks got to wait for that monthly payday, but they won't let you down. Love, peace, and soul, Lady B. Yeah, bravo. And what Lady B said about running ads is so true. Take, for instance, Marsha Gedneth Blackburn. Now, if the Democrats in Tennessee had any gumption and money, there would be billboards and TV ads all over, but they're not going to waste the money on it because Marsha's not up for re-election. But there would be billboards and TV ads all over saying, hey, Tennesseans, isn't that cool how she slimed a decorated Army veteran who's still carrying hunks of shrapnel in his body? Boy, aren't you just glad you voted for Marsha Blackburn instead of that commie Phil Bredesen? And it's just sickening to think about because it was Phil Bredesen's to fucking lose, and all he had to do was keep his. He's not a member of the Senate. He was just a candidate. All he had to do was keep his fucking mouth shut about Brett Kavanaugh, and he might well have beaten Marsha Gedneth Blackburn. But instead he said, oh, no, I think I'd have to vote for Brett Kavanaugh because he loves Jesus and Bill. Bullshit. Yeah, thanks, Darlene in Connecticut says, thanks, Billable Rick, for White Wedding, the closest I'll ever to get to one. Now I'm trying to get you to karaoke Rebel Yell. So you've got a request.
That's next on the list.
All right, good deal, good deal. All right, y'all, it is 20 minutes before the hour. Here's where we stand. We got $219 to go on a $400 challenge that would finish the week and finish fundraising for the month. Can we do 219 in 20 minutes? Well, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. So there it is. And if you want to help, of course, the tab is over at headon.live, the contribute tab. And let me add this because Lady B mentioned ads, and then I was talking about Tennessee. Did you happen to catch the fact that AOB is going to spend bajillions of his dollars on apparently a nationwide ad blitz? And by AOB, of course, I mean Michael Bloomberg, another old billionaire.
Yeah, I did hear about that, Bob.
Sickening.
Yeah, but it's not for him.
It's for, I think it's for battleground states, Bob. That's what I heard. Like, for races in those states. Isn't it? Not for himself.
No, of course it's not for himself until it's for himself.
Oh. I'll get to get them over to.
Because remember.
Oh, yeah, let's.
Remember, at some point in time, they're going. At some point in time in the ad, they have to say this ad paid for by
Michael Bloomberg. Yeah, I hear you. Hey, I want to go back real quick to that the idea of Trump testifying in front of Congress. And I'm just wondering if maybe we can get Clint Eastwood's empty chair and slap Donald J. Trump on it.
Well, that would be that would be funny. But here's a sobering thing to ponder in regard to that. There's really nothing to stop him from testifying. Because he is above the law as a result of the opinion of the Office of Legal Counsel. He can get on, he can sit there and when they say, state your name, he can say, my name is Elma J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. And every word that proceeds from his mouth for however long he's there can be a lie. Are you married to Melanoma?
No. Don't know her. Never heard of her.
Every word can be a lie, and there is nothing, not a goddamn thing, that anybody can do about it, because he is above the law, according to the Department of Justice, and the Senate Republicans will not convict him on a bill of impeachment. That's really where we are. I mean, for a long time now, I've used that reducto ad absurdum hypothetical of him taking an AR-15 and mowing down people in Lafayette Square Park. But it's not as absurdum as it's reductoed to be.
Yeah. Now, because is that something a fact. Is that something that you could hold in your back pocket and for when he's not president anymore and slap down a perjury charge on him?
Yeah, there's probably a statute of limitations involved.
Yeah.
Because, see, the statute of limitations on the federal felonies he committed with Michael Cohen will run out if he's reelected.
Yes, and Stormy Daniels. Well, that's the Stormy Daniels stuff. And we don't know what's going to happen with the tax stuff, right? Now, let me ask you this. So if you're Roberts, okay, this is your court. This has your name on it. Do you want your court to be the one that just basically throws out the balance of powers for Article 3? I mean, because if they take that case, if they take any of the tax cases, that's essentially what they're doing. They should just kick it back down and just say, this isn't our bailiff.
Right, and under the rules by which the Supreme Court operates, they really should only grant cert if, you know, in other words, agree to review the case if there is something novel about it that is not otherwise defined and ruled upon in the existing body of constitutional law. That's what stare decisis means.
Mm-hmm.
But
do they want to just eliminate that and throw that down the memory hole? I mean, that Roberts has to really consider that. And if I were him, well, and thank God I'm not. But if I was, I would say we ain't taking this case, guys. Ain't happening. But we'll see how that goes, right?
Well, yeah. And interestingly, the way the Supreme Court is structured, each justice has jurisdiction over a different circuit. For instance, RBG has jurisdiction over petitions coming from the Second Circuit, which is where the SDNY cases about and the Manhattan prosecutor cases about subpoenas will come from.
Okay.
And so, you know, she doesn't get to say, she doesn't have an absolute voice, but she gets to shepherd the request.
Okay. That's good. All right.
I don't know which justice has jurisdiction over the D.C. Circuit. I was going to say the same thing, Rick. I'd almost bet it's old Balls and Strikes. Yeah. Roberts.
Right.
Well, so Roberts going to hit the road here real soon, guys. Within the Supreme Court is going to be front and center on pretty much everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it always gets that way as the year goes on, as you get into the spring, you know. They save all the controversial cases, many of them anyway, for the spring. The 5-4 decisions. The partisan decisions. You know?
Well, hey, Rick, did you see where the California Supreme Court shot down the to be on the ballot, presidential ballot, you have to show your tax returns, that one?
Oh, you mean candidates? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They were probably afraid of the U.S. Supreme Court getting involved in that one and just saying, "Ah, can't do that. Sorry, guys."
They just declared it invalid from what I heard.
Well,
no standing or something, Sparky?
I don't know. I didn't read the article. I just saw a news
board. Yeah, there's some weird rules with regard to referendum. Like if they can only, you have to like only address like one issue on per referendum, and if they address more than one issue, it can be invalidated on that basis.
That was a state law that Gavin Newsom signed.
Yeah.
Oh, as we draw ever nearer,
that's
hey, thanks to Sharon. Thank you, Sharon, very kindly. We have now dropped under the $200 mark. We are at $199 to go and 13 minutes to get there.
Shoot, that's Tracy's number she's going for.
Yeah, that is. But Tracy's, yeah, and Tracy's challenge was met and exceeded. Well, Tracy's sub-challenge. And we got $199 to go on the unfit for office challenge. And damn, it was put on the table. It was put on the table as good during the live portion of the program. And if it doesn't, you know, the next 12 minutes or so, there we are. But
hey, Bob, who are the Mountaineers playing tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have, let's see. Last week was Oklahoma State at home.
You could win that one, right?
Yeah. You know, we had he benched our starting quarterback because he didn't seem to be able to throw the ball to anybody but the people in the other jerseys.
He's suffering from badness.
Yeah, he is suffering from a near terminal case of badness. That's beautiful. Wait a minute. Then the second stringer decided to declare himself eligible for the draft, and we are playing on our third string quarterback.
Now he
won last week against Kansas State, and it's not easy to win at Kansas State.
Right. And they got a great coach. Who's that coach? He's really good.
Oh, Bill Snyder?
Yeah.
So we are two We got three games left, and we are two games away from bowl eligible.
Mm.
So tomorrow's a must win, and it's a noon kickoff at Mountaineer Field.
Cool. Well, the big one.
So let's go Mountaineers. You know, I mean, I'm still a fan. It does my heart good that Dana Holgorsen is creating a massive sucking sound down in Houston, because he fucked the Mountaineer program so hard. He left Morgantown sticky, broken, confused. And that's why. But Neil Brown, Neil.
Okay, Bob, that's a cowbell. That plays a cowbell there. Sticky, broken, confused.
It's terrible how coaches can do that.
Yeah, Neil Brown will be a good coach, but he's going to have to recruit for a while, and that becomes a matter of will people come and play. You know, I feel terrible for Alabama, though. They were pasting Mississippi State, and a brilliant coach like Nick Saban leaves Tua in, and the dude gets his hip dislocated.
And it was at Tua's insistence that he let him stay in.
Oh yeah,
because he was pleading with him on the sidelines to go back in, even though it was 28-0.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's where coaching is supposed to come in. That's when you look at him and say, son, I know. And everybody was worried because, and still is, because that's the injury that ended Bo Jackson's career.
Right.
You know, they announced that the surgery was 100% successful. But when they said, does that mean he's going to play again? He said, no, we're talking about he's going to walk again. That's what we're worried about. That's not to say he won't play again, but still.
So did Bo Jackson hurt himself? Was he playing for the Raiders? Is that how he got hurt? What was it?
Yeah, okay. I mean, it was during his pro career.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he wanted to stay in there to compete for the Heisman race and rack up more yardage and touchdowns and what have you.
Well, not just that. I think he's a competitor.
Yeah, okay.
But he's also a competitor who's, 19 years old? And that's where you look at him and say, listen, I know, but because it's not like he didn't get to play. You sit his ass down.
You live to fight another day. And
so now Bama has to go the rest of the season with a largely untested quarterback. And it's not going to be like Tua coming in when Jalen Hurts was floundering. I mean, I'm not gooning on anybody, but the kid behind Tua was not Tua.
And Auburn's no powder puff. That's always a tough game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, they've got to have a little bit of help.
Of course, yep.
Alabama and LSU both have to win out. And no offense, Chris, but then when Oregon says, well, we deserve to be in the playoff, you look at them and go, dude, Alabama just beat Auburn, and Auburn pasted your ass.
Yeah, there's that. There's a lot of talk up here in Oregon, duck country.
Oh, yeah.
Oregon sneaking in, yeah. Well, so you got, all right, so tomorrow, Penn State, if they somehow... Where is that game? Is it in Columbus or Happy Valley? Do you know?
I want to say Columbus, but I could
easily be wrong. Yeah, it's in Columbus.
Yeah.
Ohio State's likely going to win that one, right?
Well, I mean, that's easily. The thing. Penn State always looks better than they are.
Yeah.
And they prove it somewhere along the way. This year it was in Iowa, wasn't it, Rick?
Minnesota. They lost to Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
And then Iowa beats Minnesota last week.
Right.
Yeah.
Barely hung on.
So the playoff picture's a fucking mess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no doubt that Ohio State belongs as long as they win out.
Well, in Clemson, they've had close calls, but, I mean, they're undefeated, so there's no question. They've got their spot right. sewn up as long as they went out.
And if LSU beats Georgia in the SEC championship, then Georgia's a two-loss team, and goodbye. If Georgia beats LSU, then it's a real hot mess because you've got three one-loss SEC teams. And Georgia may get the bid, and LSU and Alabama go begging and wind up playing in the. You know, that's a tough thing about the SEC. If you win the SEC, you get generally into the playoffs. But if you're the runner up in the SEC, you go to like the fucking Citrus Bowl or something. It's like that scene from Glengarry Glen Ross where the first place in the sales contest is a new car, second place is a set of steak knives, and the third place is you're fucking fired.
It's going to be very interesting. The next few weeks in college football is going to be great, and there's great contests in the NFL too. This has been a fun year of football, I'll say.
Oh, I'm proud for Minnesota. I would have loved to have seen them go undefeated and have a moment in the playoffs.
Not me, Bob. Well, I'm an Iowa fan.
Yeah, I know.
Who's gonna win tomorrow, Rick? Iowa or Illinois? Lovey's Illini.
I think Iowa usually has Illinois' number. I mean, they're much improved this year. What's their record?
Illinois, yeah.
Are they like 6-3 or something?
They're a little better, and they came up and they bit Wisconsin, which was a shocker. Yep.
They killed them, and Iowa lost to Wisconsin. So you just can never tell.
In Madison.
Yeah.
So.
You Big Ten people.
Northwestern's been horrible. I can't believe they were so bad this year.
Yeah, it's a bad year for them. They don't have a quarterback is their problem.
Yeah, they've had a string of terrific quarterbacks, and that's run out.
That's right. Yeah, it's run out. Exactly. It has run out. I just hope Fitzgerald doesn't lose his job over 1 year. I don't think he will.
Oh, no, he's there for life. Are you kidding me? That guy walks on Lake Michigan. There's no way in hell he's going anywhere unless it's his own volition.
He walks on Lake Michigan. It's frozen 10 months out of the year.
I've walked on Lake Michigan before. I went to school there for a couple of years. Northwestern.
There was a coyote. Before I left Chicago, there was a coyote who got stuck.
Oh, no.
Two miles out on Lake Michigan, and so they took a helicopter and went and got him and airlifted him back to land. It was a crazy story.
Yeah, and that stupid Supreme Court judge said the coyote should have stayed out there.
Right, and froze today. Hey, no, good cowbell. Cowbell for that one.
Oh, you mean Ann's boy Neil? That was good. Yeah, that may be your highest quality quip to date.
That was really good. That was wonderful.
Oh, but wait a minute. I mean, what about Chalupa and all those phones? Maybe you remember the baby bells? Don't you? You know, you guys remember the baby bells, Ohio Bell, and all that?
Oh yeah.
Well, they caught Chalupa using Taco Bell.
That you sunk a little
Joe,
bit
do you write these things down before the program?
Hell no, I can't read. Why would I write anything down?
All right, that gets one too.
But you can count cards, right, Joe? What's your game? What's your game at the casino? I got my ass kicked. I went with my dad last week, and it was a bloodbath.
I don't play. That's Richard plays blackjack. I don't play at all.
Oh, you're just there for moral support.
I'm his ride.
Well, I needed some goddamn moral support. The dealer was pulling aces like you couldn't imagine, and 21 and 20 and 21, it couldn't bust, could not bust. It was bad.
Well, guys, McDonald's closing, so I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, we'll see you, Joe. Take care, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Have a great weekend.
And so here we are at the end of the evening. It's been a great conversation this evening. Thanks, everybody. Listen, there is there's $199 to go on the challenge, and maybe somebody out there on the overnight crew will hit it. What's this? Shorty in L.A. says, I'm kicking in now. It's saying, please, need a big FT. In honor of Article 2, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and removing the whole Trump administration, can you ask everyone on the count of three to say, fuck Trump? Okay, we're going to do this. I don't want any of this shit from... Is Steve still with us? I don't want any of this shit from Steve about...
No, he left.
Oh, he left. Okay, yeah. All right, so on I'm going to go 3, 2, 1, and we're all going to yell fuck Trump, okay, for Shorty. 3, 2, 1.
Fuck Trump.
Okay, well, it wasn't exactly the moron tab and apple choir, but it'll do for in a pinch.
We should run that commercial. We should run that on commercials all throughout Trumplandia.
And before we wrap up, I got one little story to tell. I don't think Boss Man Wayne will mind me telling this. So, you know, I took him for his test at the hospital the other day. And as they're, I sat with him there. It's outpatient. And so, you know, they've got him on the gurney and everything, got his IV hooked up and whatnot. And they come to get him. And so I walk with him because I have to go to the other waiting room. And along the way, when the attendant walked in, Wayne and I were sitting there watching the impeachment hearings. And this was, I think, that was Wednesday. That was Sondland, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And so we're watching it, and the attendant comes and he's, so y'all watching the impeachment hearings, are you? Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, them Democrat, and Wayne don't brook this kind of bullshit. But he was kind of, you know, I think, it, you know, he was just kind of laying there, and he was going to keep his mouth shut because somebody was going to have a knife near him soon. And and the guy, you know, the only reason they're impeaching Trump is because he won and they're still pissed off about it. I said, no, the only reason they're impeaching him is because he is a walking, talking, rolling, jiggling violation of the Constitution of the United States with every breath he takes. That's the only reason they're impeaching him. He's a shakedown artist. He's been mobbed up all his life, and that's all he knows is graft and corruption. And meanwhile, the guy's pushing the gurney, and I kind of look out of the corner of my eye, and lo and behold, Boss Man Wayne's laying there on the gurney, grinning from ear to ear. And we were talking later, and he said, man, he started that shit, and I was sitting there going, Bob, don't let him get away with it. Bob, don't let him get away with it. Say something, Bob. He said, you done good, Bob. I said, I can't stand that shit.
You're not exactly a shrinking violet when dealing with maggots, Bob.
You know? No. I mean, how can you be?
Right.
And so that was nice. And, hey, thanks, Shorty. Thanks a ton. We are now down to... 189, and maybe there's somebody out there in the overnight crew or whatever that'll kick in the rest of it, a group of people, and I can report to our anonymous challenge founder that it's all been met. So thanks a ton, everybody. Have a great weekend. Back for hopefully. 5 evenings of Fundraising Free Radio. Remember, next week, all the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday's programs are truncated to 2 hours because I'll be filling in for Malloy. Looking forward to that. I always do. And good luck preparing for your Thanksgiving feasts, everybody. Thanks to all of you who keep this program on the air. I cannot thank you enough. Whether you're a subscriber or whether you kick in a la carte, thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who participates in the program in whatever way they so choose, sharing your precious finite time engaging. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.